much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I got burgers on the mind.
All right, ready?
No, you're gonna be continuously ready. So I'll stop asking that. All right, take two.
Ladies and gentlemen of the K-Rock audience, it has finally happened. You will remember the day where you were... Take 78.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remembered it.
Oh, yeah.
There are no words. I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Smell it.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible.
Once you get it in your mouth, it's hard.
Oh, this is amazing. So much fun. I love it. I love it. We having a good time. USA. USA.
And now, let me teach you how to eat, and we'll all be eating french fries.
Our feature presentation.
All right, ready?
Wow.
Thank you.
I feel like maybe, Bean, it's a little too early for that.
For what?
For the beer mug alley mashup.
Never.
Chip, I
really?
Feel it's
nope.
too early.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I feel like it's too early.
I didn't, you know, it's weird. I went away on vacation for a week and I come back and you and Mugs are doing it. I was
nope.
like so surprised
nope.
by that. You're the like the last two people at work I expected to hook up. But, you know,
he
can
dear.
Be handsome in the right light.
He's a lovely human being.
Mm-hmm. Well, you certainly
I don't need
that.
To hear that again.
Giggity indeed. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean show. Let me see if I can get the date right. I think it is the 22nd?
Correct.
Of March. By the way, a listener suggested, and I'm not smart enough to have figured this out, but is it possible that because it's a leap year, that's what screwed up the first day of spring? Or no? Is that not possible?
I don't really care.
No, Chip, I'm with you. Yeah, didn't think about it after you messed
up
the date.
It was very troubling
I
for
can
me
imagine
yesterday.
All day you just journaled about it. But no, nobody else really cared.
I thought maybe the leap day because maybe the spring starts on the 20th, but then the first full day is usually the 21st.
Right.
But it was a day later this year, and then I thought that would make sense.
Yeah.
I got an email while I was on vacation from a Kevin Bean listener named Lucia. And it was sent to me by accident. It looked like what happened is she was trying to send it to someone at her work named Ben, and she typed B-E, and it auto-filled with Bean. So she sent it to me instead, along with a young lady named Monica, who also works there. And I bring this up for two reasons. The first is, thank God I don't have a real job that's hard with responsibility. Let me read this email to you. And imagine if this were an email that you received for reals and had to then execute what was asked. Please see the attached document, WOS, Statement of Work, Scope of Work, and Budget, to be revised with a more feasible project term. Please make sure to make all the changes using track changes. When updating the WOS, make sure to revise the following sections. 1.4, project term slash period. 1.6, county's estimated funding availability. 1.11.2, plan for surveys and focus groups, specifically the events identified. You might want to pick events later in the year with a few more days in between events. And it goes on and on and on.
I was out with please see attached document.
Yep.
No.
I don't know how... Look, I don't even know what business they're in, but I don't know how I would even begin... to solve this problem. This is something that's coming at work that you then have to – somebody has to look at that and go, I'm going to go do that now.
Right. Well, Ben won't.
Poor Ben. Because Ben didn't get it?
Ben didn't get it.
Make changes to the budget if needed. I say we should aim to make all these revisions by the end of the week. I will be working on updating the project plan with the MAWO execution date of June 10th or 15th and provide you with a revised copy as soon as it is available. Blah, 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 blah. Just goes on and on and on. Well, she did, Lucia did notice the error and wrote back to me a few minutes later that said, hi, Bean, please disregard my email unless you want to work for LA County.
Bean should have replied saying, it looks good.
I agree with everything here.
But she was asking me to do all that work. What would we do if we had real jobs, Allie?
Yeah, no.
I mean, this is important work.
No.
This is people. Mm-mm. People are doing these things to keep the world moving. People smarter than we are doing these things. Thank God they're there.
God.
Right?
It sounds like math was involved and calendars.
Yes. Yes. And coordination with other agencies.
I am sweating.
All things that I am bad at.
I can't.
All right, so I said I was bringing that up for two reasons. One is, once again, it is reinforced to me how lucky I am to have this dumb job where I just have to talk. Okay, thing two is, and I know you're going to be very excited about this, Allie, because it's all you were talking about yesterday. While we're talking about mixed up messages being sent to the wrong people, that was an email meant for me.
Right.
How about the text that was sent out for the couple in Georgia when they had their baby?
I love it so much.
What do you love about it so much?
That
it had such a happy ending.
It was just lovely that somebody could get a wrong text message. This family was having a baby, and I think mm-hmm. it was the mother-in-law sent out a text and said, dilated 2 centimeters, baby's coming soon, something like that. And this guy replied to this thread, hey, that's great news, but I don't know who you are. And then the next one, she just kept going because there were a lot of people in the thread that she was sending it out to. And finally, the guy's like, listen, I don't know who y'all are, but I'm real excited for you. Let me know what room you're in. I'd like to stop by. He came by with gifts for the baby.
Yes,
diapers, pacifier, bottle, all of that. And they took a picture and just... It was so funny to me that he went out of his way instead of being like, listen, lady, stop texting me.
Yeah.
Or just ignoring it, instead made it about a community. And I thought that was just kind of lovely.
I agree. It's a very sweet story. Mark and Lindsay Lashley were having their boy on Saturday in Bainbridge, Georgia. And you're right. They said someone in the family, I think it was the mother-in-law, sent out a group text. But a cousin in the thread had changed his phone number. Mm-hmm. And the mom-in-law didn't know that. So the young man that received the text has that phone number now. And he came by, as you said, with all those gifts, and they shot this picture of them, these perfect strangers, standing in their hospital room with the mom and the dad and the little baby, and there they are with their gifts. And she, so she put it up, and she said, hey, share this message. She said, if only they brought diapers, bottles, pacifier, it was so very nice of them, if only everyone was as kind as they are. And I feel like a friendship was forged there, don't you?
Absolutely. And if she didn't name the baby after one of those young men that came by, she did the wrong thing.
Well, I think that may be asking it a little bit too much. But anyway, Dennis Williams, you are a fine man who did not ignore the mistake and instead decided to, hey, I'm going to make their day and show up in the hospital room.
Loved it.
Two very different reactions with mixed up messages, by the way. This one has a happy ending. The other one left us both sweating, trying to figure out how we're going to survive when K-Rock switches to Spanish because we apparently are not good at other things.
¿Qué es esto?
Sí.
Música, música, música!
Muy bien.
Hey, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Beach here, shall we?
I'm not that big of a bean fan.
Well, you're just going to have to suck it because
tough
I'm all you
for
got.
You.
I'm all you got. First of all, Ari Shaffir is going to be joining us today. Very funny comedian and the host of This Is Not Happening on Comedy Central. We haven't seen Ari in a while, so that'll be fun. The great Courtney B. Vance on the program. American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson.
So
he is Johnny Cochran. It's like Johnny Cochran is still alive when you look at him. Like, no one could be more Johnny Cochran than Courtney B. Vance is being Johnny Cochran.
I think he's more Johnny Cochran than Johnny Cochran was Johnny Cochran.
He could
be. It's
hard
to say that name. It's almost coming out of something else.
We got a brand new Bean Makes Us guest on the show today.
Yes.
We're going to check in with our old friend Nick, who apparently has some thoughts about what Amber Heard is up to now.
Oh, no.
Because you know he loves his Amber Heard. And I don't know because I wasn't around last week when he approached us. Is he upset or pleased that she is going to be in the Justice League movie?
I don't know because I didn't think he liked this aspect. Like, is it DC Comics?
Yes.
I thought that he kind of put the kibosh on DC Comics. So
maybe this
is his way back in with Amber.
Oh, because if it's okay for Amber, it's okay for him.
Right.
Okay. All right. We'll talk today about bringing your kid to work. A big story in sports that kind of spilled over to the rest of the news cycle last week was a Chicago White Sox player who walked away from a $13 million a year job because he was asked not to bring his son to the baseball games. And I don't think anyone really needs to bring their kid to work every day.
No.
But apparently a lot of people think it's cool, and hey, why not? The kid wasn't – the kid was very popular. The kid wasn't a problem. Everybody liked the kid, but that was a deal breaker for him to not be able to take the kid. So we want to talk to you about that and find out if that's happened in your life. And well, I'll save that. I'll save that for later.
What?
I don't want to spoil it.
Come on.
Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and that's up next right after this on K-Rock. I love me some Franz Ferdinand so much.
Yeah.
They're one of my favorites.
Yes. He is great.
He is great. That's what I learned from Rodney.
He's the best. He's dating Motley Hatchett, I think.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's with them at the festival, and they're together. So
that's fantastic. Yeah. Hey, it's 5:54 Tuesday morning. That's the voice of Ralph Garman. It's time for a first look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up?
Speaking of all things music, is everyone all right?
With?
The announcement.
Because of?
How sad it is.
Because it's
the
about
end.
This
is the end.
Did a band break up?
Well, it's a farewell tour.
Oh, farewell tour. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm fine with that.
I'm going to need more info.
Allie.
Sorry.
The Go-Go's. The Go-Go's announced their farewell tour. They're doing their last concerts.
Have they been doing concerts?
How dare you?
I mean, a lot of them. Good people went to?
Every summer. Yeah.
Really?
They play the Hollywood Bowl and places like that.
Oh,
sure.
I'm going to miss the girls.
We got the beat.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's one of their songs, Allie. Good work.
Vacation.
Right.
I'm out.
Oh, you're the worst. The Go-Go's.
Sure. Belinda Carlisle, she's great.
You need to remember, when the Go-Go's hit the scene, it changed the face of pop music. An all-girl band to reach that kind of success, it was
amazing.
Unheard of.
Amazing.
An
all-girl band. The Go-Go's, love the Bangles, love that genre of lady pop.
An all-girl band that wrote all their own songs and played all their own instruments.
Right.
Awesome.
This isn't some freaking Martha and the Vandellas we're talking about, all right? I don't know why I'm picking on them.
Not sure either.
Or if anyone even knows who they are. Nope. But this was a big deal to me and my friends. Were like, oh, look, these girls are doing that. They're adorable and they're awesome and they're talented.
Hmm.
One of my first concerts was the Go-Go's. They took
some years off. They broke up,
yes,
took some
did.
Years off. And then when they got back together in the, I guess, early 90s maybe, they came into K-Rock on the Kevin and Bean Show. That was one of their first appearances, all five of them. And I remember how excited we were to have the real live Go-Go's there in the studio. Mm-hmm. And you remember how tiny that studio was, by the way.
Yes.
Over in Burbank. And all of them were crammed into that studio with us. And CNN came down and also covered it. Covered the interview and interviewed the girls as well.
Look at you. You're part of history.
It was a big deal having the Go-Go's get back together. A lot of people loved them and had missed them. I guess they have a chance to love them and miss them all over again.
This is their last chance.
But they've been down a wheel for some time. Didn't Kathy leave the band?
Didn't she have some health issues or something?
I thought she sued them.
No, that was it. Yeah, she was sick of them. That was the health issue. She was sick of her bandmates. Yes, that was her health concerns. But the four of them are still back together.
You got Belinda.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Of course, on lead vocals and
mm-hmm.
tambourine.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Jane Wiedlin, of course.
That's great. Right.
Who's great.
Yeah.
You've got Kathy. Nope. You've got Gina Schock on drums.
That's mm-hmm. right.
On the skins.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the kit.
Okay.
Right.
Yep. It's percussion.
Yep. And then of course, I want to say Michael Steele on bass. No.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
She was a Bangles.
She was a Bangles.
Yeah, she's the
Bangles. Wait a minute. It's coming to me. Big fan of the Go-Go's.
Charlotte?
Yeah.
Charlotte
Caffey.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Anyway, I just heard that news yesterday and it just made me sad. Less joy in the world once the Go-Go's stop playing.
You gonna go, Ralph?
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
Why not?
Why don't you go?
Why don't we all go?
We're all just people.
We are.
But I heard.
All right, let's take some more looks at the show business news. Hulk Hogan got a little bonus yesterday, a little tip, a little something for his trouble. An additional $25 million were tacked on yesterday to his lawsuit against the Gawker website for punitive damages. This, of course, all revolves around the sex tape of the Hulkster having sex with the wife of his former best friend. No, it's not like that. The best friend wasn't cheesed off because Hulkster was having sex with his wife. Hey, that guy encouraged it. He wanted that to happen. What he didn't want to happen was Hulk to get all cheesed off about it.
Right.
Hey, just be cool, man. I thought you were cool, Bubba said to the Hulkster.
I feel like I need a sex tape now.
Nobody feels that.
That Mm-mm. does nothing needs to exist less in the world than that.
I'm sorry. If there are...
No, I'm sorry.
But if there are tens of millions of dollars involved in a payout, if my sex tape ends up on the internet...
Yes. But here's the thing. Gawker put that sex tape on their website because people wanted to see it.
Right.
What's going to happen with your sex tape?
No one will even click on
It'll
the link.
It'll close the internet. The internet will have to put a sign out saying, gone fishing. Back in 20.
Look, I know the internet is great technology, but it's not worth existing if this is possible.
No, we have to shut her down.
You gave them 20.
We have to shut her down. So don't do that, please. We're begging.
Okay. I'm just looking for a payday, you know.
I know. You're looking for the easy way out. Melissa Rauch. You know her from The Big Bang Theory, of course. She's got a movie in theaters now called The Bronze, where she plays an aging Olympic gymnast. She said to make that movie, she worked her butt off. She actually had to work with a Russian gymnastics coach to train her, to teach her how to walk across a balance beam and do a dip and all those athletic things that she had to do. Seems like that was time ill spent.
Not worth it.
Because in a sidebar story, yes, The Bronze has been announced over the weekend as one of the lowest grossing films of all time.
Wow.
Per screen average for the film, I think, has been $360.
That's low.
That is low. People are not in a hurry to see The Bronze. Which is sad because I heard from all accounts it's a pretty funny movie. But not everything's for everybody, right?
I wonder what went wrong.
I don't know. All right. We've got to the bottom of that one. DVD's coming out today. New movies are released. Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2. You can pick that up or watch it on video on demand or on your favorite platform with Jennifer Lawrence and Liam Hemsworth. Daddy's Home with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. I really wanted to see that in theaters. I never got around to it. So I'm glad that's available for home consumption today. And, of course, The Letters with Rutger Hauer and Max von Sydow.
What?
You know, The Letters.
Are those real people?
Rutger Hauer?
And Max von Sydow.
And Max von Sydow.
Very famous actors.
Yeah, I love them.
Why are you bad today? Rutger Hauer, you may remember from a little movie I like to call Blade Runner.
Sure. Ran around on those blades.
The Hitcher? Mm-hmm. Nighthawk? No,
he ran around on blades. Hitchhiker.
Max von Sydow, one of the great actors of all time.
I
Swedish legend, Max von Sydow.
Yeah.
Played chess with death. Played chess with death.
Yeah. Who won? Right? King.
By the way, if
movie
I read
called
me,
The Seventh Seal. You might want to look into it.
Okay. I believe, Ralph, and this has just flashed in my brain, isn't he in Star Wars, Max von Sydow?
Yes.
I think he's in Star Wars. I mean, the Force Awakens, the current
one. Yeah. He's the old guy from the opening scene.
So, yeah, you've heard of Max von Sydow.
Well, now that
point.
I look at him, sure. I mean, that guy's huge. The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Minority Report.
Yeah, that's all we're saying.
Compels you. The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you.
See? That's why I blocked him out. That's scary.
You need an exorcism. I don't even know what that means, but I hope it was hurtful. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Constance Wu. She is 34 years old today. Reese Witherspoon turns 40. The Key. Keegan-Michael Key.
I like him.
Key and Peele, of course. They've got Keanu coming up. Can't wait for Keanu, the movie. 45 years old. Bob Costas, legendary sportscaster and legendary dick. Yeah, heard he's not a fun dude.
I don't want to believe it. I love Bob so much.
He's a dick.
I want to have blinders on and think he's as awesome as he is talented because I think he's great on television.
But he's not, so what do you do then?
I'm la 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 la. That's what I'm doing.
All right. And actor William Shatner, one of our favorites around
Bill.
Here. The Shat celebrates his 85th birthday today. And to celebrate, Bean?
Yes.
We told Bill that you would buy a table at his next charity.
Oh, thank you for that. I appreciate it. So, very generous of you to put me down for a table.
Yeah, he's 85. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tuesday morning on the world famous K-Rock, it's 106.7 KROQ. What? What's going on? What's everybody?
I'm just going to take Allie out today. It's going down.
No one would blame you, Ralph.
Let me throw some bows.
Wow.
Bows to the doom.
How about a little feature we like to call Bean Makes Us Guess?
All right.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya,
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Remix's Guess.
Yes. Again, I don't think I'm a dick, and yep. I don't think I'm dumb.
No, I know you don't think any of those things.
I'm just reading a list.
You think Bob Costas is a good guy?
Beer Mug is filling in for the Monkees since Kevin is on vacation this week, and here's the category. I think you guys are going to love this one. All right. I wouldn't be surprised if you got all 10 of them. Woo! This is such a great category.
Yeah.
Today we are looking for on B-Mix's Guest the best movie villains of all time. The greatest, most vile movie characters we love to hate, ranked by the wisdom of the crowd, according to Ranker.com. The best movie bad guys of all time. Mugs, it's movies, okay? I just want to make sure you understand.
Movies, got it.
Fonzie!
Because I heard Mugs play before. With Kevin out, Ralph, we're going to give you the ceremonial first guess here today to get us started. We're looking for the top 10, of course.
Top 10, of course. All right. I say this not only because I think it's on the list, but in order to burn Allie.
I hate
yes.
you.
I would like to say Darth Vader.
Well, sure. Yeah,
take Darth that away Vader. From her.
Is the only surprise to me is that Darth Vader is not number one. He comes in at number two. Darth Vader is the number two movie villain of all time on the list. You are on the board. Beer Mug, you're up next.
I'm going to go with Jack Nicholson from The Shining.
Number four.
Oh,
how about
what?
That?
Yeah!
What? Yes.
How is that a villain?
It's just the first thing that popped in my head. He was just so sadistic in that when he goes nuts.
The character's name is Jack Torrance from The Shining is number four. Beer Mug with an early point. Usually he doesn't make the board at all, so I'm very impressed.
It was exciting when he started naming actors. I thought that I thought we were in good shape. Let me see. Fred Astaire?
All right. 1-1 to you, Allie McKay.
Voldemort.
Number six. Well done. Look at this. We've got 2, 4, and 6 already in the
first round.
You're
not even supposed to say his name, by the way. So,
yeah.
Nice work.
He who shall not be named. Right, exactly. Number six. From the Harry Potter films, of course. All right. Ralph, back to you.
Let's go for a classic. And I think if it's not on the list, then I'm walking out the door. How about that in protest? The Wicked Witch of the West from Wizard of Oz.
Let me scroll down into the 30s and
40s. Come on.
Oh, you know what? It's number 26 on the list.
Wow. It's a legendary movie villain.
Well, there may be younger people than Wizard of Oz fans on Ranker.com.
Everybody's seen Wizard of Oz.
I'm sorry, number 26, not in the top 10. But you know what? I wouldn't be mad if it were because she's obviously an all-time classic villain. Mugs, it's you.
One of the creepiest horror characters of all time. Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger is number 5, Beer Mug. Look at you.
Wow.
On a roll.
Mugs is undefeated.
Hands down.
Okay. Jesus. If we're going that genre.
I didn't know that was an option.
Right?
All right. Okay.
I didn't either, so I'm changing it up.
Game on.
I'm going to go Jason.
Let me see if
Jason come on.
Is on the
He's
list.
So much worse than
Jason
Freddy Krueger.
Jason is number 23.
No way.
He's there when you're not dreaming. You don't have to
good
be a
point.
Good to see Jason.
He gets you during the day.
Right?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Jason for the Friday the 13th movies is number 23 on the list. I'm sorry, not in the top 10.
That's dumb.
Ralph, back to you.
Movie villains. How about Hannibal Lecter?
How about number 3, ladies and
that's
gentlemen?
Not Ralph.
So now we've nailed 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Well done, you guys. Mugs, your turn.
I just got to mix it up a little bit, and this is from one of my favorite trilogies.
We don't
of all
need
time.
A monologue every time you give an answer, okay?
But I'm going to go Biff Mother Effin Tannen from Back to the Future.
He is pretty awful.
I am sorry I don't see him anywhere here, but that was a good guess.
Everybody thinks he's doing like a nightclub act.
Right?
He's like, and now one of my favorites from a while ago, I'd like to entertain you all with this guest during a game. Something I like to call Biff Tannen.
Biff comes in at number 72, Beer Mug.
Okay.
So he is on the list, but number
the worst answer so far.
72, yeah.
I'm going to give you guys a chance.
Here. Thanks.
All right, let's it's Allie's turn, and then we'll go around one more time.
Ralph's going to kill me that I even think this person's a villain, but I think he could be-ish.
Oh, wow.
The Riddler?
The Riddler?
Jim Carrey's the Riddler?
No, I meant more Frank Jack has
the Riddler.
Riddler.
I mean, he is a bad guy.
Right, he's bad.
But I
and
don't.
He can't wear lipstick. messes up his lipstick, and that's bad.
I
right?
am sorry. No, I do not see him.
But
on the
top 20?
I'm pretty sure you're thinking about the Joker.
I'm just
a stab in the dark here, but I'm thinking you probably mean the Joker.
Oh, the Riddler's the guy in the suit and he walks home.
He's the guy with all the question marks.
The guy in the suit who walks. Yep, that's him.
All right, last round. Best, you've already guessed. Best movie villains of all time. It is to Ralph Garman. What say you?
Wow. How about the alien from the movie Aliens? The mama
the
alien.
Alien is what you are saying. Yeah. No, I'm so. Oh, yes. Number 20. Number 20 is the alien. All right. Beer Mug, your final guess.
All right. Here we go.
By the way, is anyone keeping score?
Yes.
Yeah. Ralph and Mugs are tied up.
Yes. All right. Oh, man. Let's see. I'm going to go with...
You know, when I think about aliens, it brings me back to growing up with my dad listening to jazz.
I'm going to go with the...
Just answer!
I'm trying. The devil from The Exorcist.
The devil.
you mean Satan?
I don't believe... I don't think Satan made the list. Sorry,
he was scary. He was bad.
Yeah.
Remember that movie with the Riddler and Satan when they were together? Wreaking havoc.
You guys.
All right. Alan McKay, the final guess, and then we got to put this nonsense to bed.
Mike Myers.
From the Love Guru?
Yes.
Number 19 on the list. All right, so you guys had some really good guesses because a lot of them that were on the list just didn't make the top 10. By the way, some of the other ones that didn't make the top 10 include Bane, who I thought I'm surprised somebody didn't say.
Yes.
Pennywise is on the list. Gollum is on the list. Patrick Bateman from American Psycho. But here's the ones that round out the top 10 that we didn't have. Number 10, Emperor Palpatine.
Whatever.
Number 9 on the list of the best movie villains of all time, Agent Smith from The Matrix.
Nah, boo.
Dumb.
I didn't create the list, of course. It's just a reflection.
Still get our scorn.
Yeah.
Number 8, The Terminator.
Really?
I was going to guess that.
No, you weren't.
Shut
Number
up.
7, it's Magneto Satan. From the X-Men universe.
Yeah. I don't even know what these are.
Then we had Voldemort, Kruger, Jack from The Shining, Hannibal Lecter, Darth Vader, and number 1 on the list, the all-time greatest movie villain,
the Riddler.
Allie, you're going to kick yourself. It's the Joker. It is the Joker.
No!
I guess we end with a tie game. This has been Beat Makes Us Guess.
Beat Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Is that 21 Pilots too?
Yep.
There's nothing those guys can't do. That's another great song. That's called Ride here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Don't forget you can still win your tickets to Coachella. It is only 24 days away. Sold out 3-day passes and access to the K-Rock Coachella house plus qualified to drive home in a brand new 2016 Jeep Renegade. That's at 5:00 this afternoon with our friend Ted Stryker. Allie, you spent much time in New Jersey?
I have.
Fun place, right? And that accent? Oh, I could listen
delightful.
To it all day. It
sounds
so good. Well, you'll hear some of that in this news report that involves a brawl. You might have seen this on the internet yesterday at a New Jersey mall at the Newport Center in Jersey City. A brawl where the Easter Bunny was throwing punches at people in line. Yes, the Easter Bunny. Listen up.
And forget Bad Santa. Meet Bad Bunny.
Oh, show us the Easter Bunny. Oh, Easter Bunny, throw your hands.
Oh, Easter Bunny. Fists and fur flying inside a New Jersey mall. A fight actually breaking out between the Easter Bunny and a man who was waiting to take photos with him. They end up rolling around on the floor of the mall before the scuffle finally comes to an end when security tried a bunch of times to break this up.
Oh, no.
What is that like for the kids that are in line waiting to meet the Easter Bunny? Video posted on Twitter Sunday evening showed a chaotic scene at the Newport Center in Jersey City near an area set up to take photos. It started when a 1-year-old girl slipped out of her chair after posing for a photo with the bunny. The city spokesperson Jennifer Morell said the girl's father reportedly shouted at the Easter Bunny and started throwing punches. Well, at least the Easter Bunny didn't hit first, right?
Right.
And then it just turned into a melee until security was able to pull everyone apart. I can't wait to find out more about the story. We asked producer Dave if he can get us a spokesperson from the mall, Newport Center in Jersey City, on the line. I'm not sure who we have, but hello, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is...
Wait, did you say bunny?
I did say bunny, yeah.
Oh,
you're the Easter bunny?
Yes, in the Easter bunny, yeah.
Wow.
Bunny. I answered the phone, bunny.
Okay, well, I apologize. Well, this is a very busy time of year with Easter coming up on Sunday, but thank you for talking to us.
Yeah, it's even busier. We got a-holes throwing punches at you.
Yeah, what happened? I mean, we saw the news report, but you were on the scene as an eyewitness. What went down?
Well, I was taking a picture with this guy's kid, uh-huh. And the kid falls. She's one. She's an idiot. Of course she's going to fall.
Well, she's a little baby. You got to be very delicate and careful with those.
I didn't break her.
Okay, but you don't want her falling out of your lap onto the ground.
It happens.
You just got to be gentle.
First of all, children are awful.
Oh.
And I hate this time of year.
But you're the Easter bunny.
This is when
you don't
shine.
Have to tell me, buddy. I live it every day. I know I'm the Easter bunny.
Right, but that's your reason for being, isn't it? It's to make the children happy and to give them little Easter baskets with eggs.
Yeah, it's a very confusing thing. The whole thing is very confusing. First of all, I'm a rabbit. Why am I laying eggs? I have no idea.
Great question.
Have you any idea how hard it is to push an egg out when you're a rabbit?
Yeah, I would
and
imagine so.
A colored one at that?
Yeah,
I got poop pink ones and yellow ones and green ones.
Yeah, they are asking a lot, I think.
And then children, you know the first thing they do? The first thing they want to do, very first thing, bite the head off of me. They get a chocolate Easter bunny, they bite the head right off.
That's
they're
excellent.
Animals.
Yeah. Do they pull on your ears, too, when they get up in your lap?
Pull on my ear, pull on my carrot.
What?
Whatever they can pull on, they're pulling on it. So I got there's no love lost in me and kids, all right? You're lucky I leave you the basket on Easter morning.
But did it have to come to blows, Easter Bunny?
Look, this guy started it. This jackhole comes up to me. Oh, you, my kid. Yeah, you didn't take care of my kid. It's not my job to raise your kid. All right, go about. Yeah, stop having kids too. By the way. Everybody.
That's
everyone?
The bunny?
Everyone. Just too many children.
Yeah, well, good point, Allie. You're a bunny. You have nothing but kids.
I got snipped.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I got taken care of.
All right.
Bunny was tired of keeping popping out a dozen kids every 6 weeks, so I took care of it. I was responsible. I went down to the doctor, and he snipped me right there in the peeps.
All right. Well, I think that's a responsible way to handle it. Well, look.
By the way, peeps, they blow, right?
They're the best.
A lot of people like them this time of year, though, the Easter.
No, they're off. It's just... It's like a, what is it, plastic, fiberglass? What are they made out of?
It's marshmallow and sugar.
Oh,
yeah.
You wish.
It's marshmallow and sugar.
Tell that to your oncologist when the time comes around. They're wondering what the hell's wrong with you.
Oh, no.
Well, look, Easter Bunny, maybe just be the Easter Bunny, but don't be around so many kids. Like, maybe turn down these mall gigs when they're offered this time of year.
What's up with me and Jesus, by the way? Where's the connection?
I don't know.
I don't understand why a rabbit and eggs and chocolate has anything to do with Jesus. This is the worst holiday ever.
It is your holiday, but you're right. It's pretty. It's not very well thought out.
Oh, I got to talk to Santa. We need to unionize.
Well.
And you're listening to the Rodney and the Rock Show.
Yeah.
And that's brand new from Nana Surf.
Well, rock and
doing
a
Cold to see you from.
What?
Nana Surf. It's very odd wording. Cold to see you. Anyway, I got another one from...
We don't have time, Rodney.
Timer. And it's about cat food.
Wow, come on. This is a radio program?
Timer?
On the air?
Cat food?
What's happening?
No wonder CBS wants to sell us.
I need to start listening to that show, apparently. By the way, could you hear in the background the person who's running the controls for Rodney's show yelling out because Rodney couldn't remember?
Yeah, he prompted.
That.
He got prompted.
That was that guy's on the air in Los Angeles doing a radio show. Hey, our old friend Nick is on the line now. Ralph, why did you want to talk to Nick?
Well, I know how Nick feels about Amber Heard, the lovely and talented actress Amber Heard. He's maybe her biggest fan.
I think so.
And of course, it was confirmed this week that she is indeed playing Mira. Wonder, of course, is Aquaman's love interest in the DC Comics, and now will be in the Aquaman and Justice League movies. She'll play eventually the Queen of Atlantis opposite Aquaman, and I just wanted to know, we should get the take of the Amber Heard's biggest fan, I think.
I think that's a great idea, especially since in the past we've talked to listener Nick, and he has had very specific feelings about the roles that Amber Heard takes, and some roles he hates her in, and some roles he loves her in. So I think that's a great idea. So let's welcome Nick back to the show. Nick, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. It's good to talk to you guys again.
You don't sound great. You don't sound great at all.
I'm great.
It's early. It's early. But I love this idea. I love that she's doing this role. I really do.
So you approve of this one?
Yeah.
Because there have been past roles where she's been playing characters that you didn't care for.
Bad things have happened to her. It's like scarring, you know?
Wait, what's
scarring?
Say that again?
Bad things have happened to her in, like, other roles she's done. It's, like, really kind of concerning, almost, really.
You mean in the role?
She's an actress, though.
On set? What do you mean?
I don't know. It's just, I don't know, because I've actually, like, done, like, some, I took, like, an acting class, and I realized how, like, you know, serious stuff can get, you know. But, look, I'm just happy that, you know, she's doing this DC, I'm happy she's doing the whole Aquaman role.
But aren't you worried now she's going to have to live underwater?
Yeah,
aren't you concerned
breathe?
About her health? She won't be able to breathe.
She worked for Daryl Hannah, you know.
It's true. It didn't work for Daryl Hannah.
And she seems okay.
Yeah, she survived.
So, yeah, she turned out hot.
What was the role that Amber Heard did that got you the maddest in the past, Nick?
I wouldn't say it was the maddest.
What concerns you the most? What role?
I didn't like the whole Machete Kills thing because I'm half Hispanic, and I thought the first Machete was all cool because, like, oh, Machete's killing all the bad guys.
Right.
And I just thought, and, like, you know, I just really bought into that whole thing. And then when, like, Amber is, like, the villainous in Machete Kills is just very... It just freaked me out because I just thought, like, oh, like, the whole Hispanic power thing is cool, but now, like, the Amber Heard is, like, you know, getting killed off in that movie.
You felt partially responsible as half Mexican for her death in the film.
It just opened up some very uncomfortable feelings.
I can imagine.
She's got Amber Heard feelings.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
That's what's happening.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, refresh my memory, because I know you go back a long way. Was the Playboy Club the first thing that you saw Amber in that made you fall in love with her, Rick?
No, I was, like, into her way before that.
Okay. Oh. And you've met her or you have not met her?
I've met her multiple times.
What do you say to her?
Until the restraining order, right? And then you had to stop?
It's been a while. And there was never any restraining. No, God, no. Only losers get restraining orders.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out.
And you are a winner, sir.
Because that's what champions do. Nick, what did you say to Amber Heard? And I'm very curious about this because we've had conversations in the past on this show about whether you want to meet the people that you admire so much. Like for me, like I never want to meet Taylor Swift because I love her too much, right?
She was always nice to me. She was always, you know, cool. She was always wonderful to me. And it was legitimate because other people that there were times like there were other people around who just kind of hated the fact that I was there, you know?
There's a lot to be jealous of when you're hanging around with you, Nick. So what did you think about when were you ever concerned that she was going to end up in jail in Australia because of her dog smuggling ring?
Oh, no, she got lawyers to get her out of that.
Yeah.
She's got lawyer protection on that.
Yeah. Okay, so she's good there.
I think Nick would have gone to Australia and broken her out of prison had anything.
I would have. Yes. If I had to.
Right,
had
sure. To. I know you would.
Now, Nick, how do you feel, and I honestly don't know the answer to this, but how do you feel about Amber Heard if she, and I don't know if she has already, if she plays naked roles? Is that something that you're happy about because you love her and want to see her naked, or is that something you're angry about because you don't want other people to see her naked? Well, because I don't know what your feeling is on this.
Because she's done a bunch of naked roles before, it's great. I'm fine with that.
You're fine with it, even though other guys are now looking at your girl.
Oh God, man! It's like let's be real here, okay?
Yes,
it's
Bean.
Like,
can we get real, please, Bean? Damn, why do you have to be like this, Bean?
I'm trying to establish the boundaries of this relationship that he has with Amber Heard.
It's strange, isn't it? It's strange. You wonder what the boundaries are, but. I don't have an issue there.
All right. Okay. Now how about in Aquaman, for example? Jason Momoa will play Aquaman. She will be his love interest. Invariably, there'll be some hot, steamy scenes between the two of them.
Great. Great. Can't wait to see him.
That doesn't bother you at all? There's no jealousy or anything?
No.
All right.
No.
Okay.
God, no.
Our boy is growing up here, you guys.
Yeah. This is very healthy of you, Nick.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like... Monogamy is like a hard thing to live up to, you know?
Yep.
I have
sure
said that
is.
For years.
It sure is. All right, before we let you go, Nick, because we haven't had you on in a while, how's the movie going? Are you still making the Right Jack Trade Predator, whatever that was called?
I really still want to, but, like, some personal stuff came up, and it's kind of a hold up.
Mm. Okay. Well, I mean, look.
I really want to. It's just I can't explain why, just, like, personal issues are kind of, like, holding the thing up.
I understand. Well, I mean, look, it's tough to get a movie made. A lot of things, you know, have to line up just so. Are you still living at home?
Why must you ask that?
I'm just touching base with you. We haven't had you on in a while. I want to see how you're doing.
Well, the one thing I have been doing more than anything else, I've been writing this heavy metal story.
Uh-huh.
It's actually like a heavy metal Playboy Club crossover story.
Finally. That's what everyone's been waiting for. The heavy metal animated film from 30 years ago crossed over with the story of the Playboy Club from the 60s.
Well, come on. It's like a Playboy heavy metal crossover story. That's like the American dream.
Absolutely.
It is the American dream.
It practically sells itself.
All right. Well, listen, we are delighted that you're doing so well.
Where are those episodes, by the way? Where are the rest of the Playboy Club
don't
episodes?
Don't bring that up, Ralph.
Why?
I don't know why they don't show those.
Why would you rip that scab off?
Nothing else worked. You know, that's another thing. This is more like just like a crazy like Hail Mary idea. But
yeah.
You know what?
Before you throw the Hail Mary, why don't you try running the ball a few times? try to get a couple first downs.
I ran the ball, and like all those linemen that the studio put up just keep, you know, pushing me back.
Yeah.
So now it's like Hail Mary.
It's hard.
It is hard. Life is hard, isn't it?
It is, but we're all just people.
We're just people. We got to go, but you're happy, you're well, everything's all right, Nick?
I will be fine.
Okay.
So you're not fine now, but you predict you will be in the future.
No, I'll be fine.
I believe you.
It sounds very convincing.
I do.
All right. Well, listen, the Justice League Part 1 hits theaters in November of 2017,
yeah,
by the way.
Full time.
Aquaman, July of 2018. So, Nick, you're going to be our Amber correspondent when those films come out. Great to catch up with you.
I can't wait to be.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Nick.
Later.
Happy
hey!
Amber? You happy?
Still
come
going.
On, I'm letting
still
go.
Going.
It was, no, that's over
it's
now.
It's going. You have to listen to that chord until
that
the end.
That was over.
No,
it was
it had
so
about
not
eight
over.
More seconds.
We were dangerously close to
play
dead
that
air
song
at that
all
point.
Over again.
No,
Chad.
We're not going to do that.
We're going to play the song all over again.
I intentionally held back.
No, you didn't, because it goes boom, boom, and then it goes off, and then you actually hear them take their fingers off the keys of the piano at the end of that.
Do I have to wait until they get up and leave the room and I hear the door slam at the end of the session?
Oh, you're the worst.
At what point is... All right, listen. Ari Shaffir next hour on The Kevin Amin Show. And your phone calls up right now for Kevin Amin's What's Good. You can call on any topic. If you've got a problem in your life you need help with, you got a comment or question about the show, that's fine. You've got Brussels on your mind with the terrible news coming out of there this morning. That'll be fun for all of us. Sports, whatever's on your mind, give us a call. Kevin Amin's What's Good on any topic now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you immediately after Ralph Garman takes a look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
Before I get to entertainment news, let's give away something.
Well, let's not, because we're using the phone lines for Kevin Amin's What's Good.
Never mind. Let's not do that. I was told to do this here, but I will not do this here because Beer Mug was the one that told me. So I should probably know better than to do something like that.
He shouldn't be given directions.
Look at him. He just wrote, my bad. He just wrote up on the screen. Yeah.
Oh, that was his bad.
That was your fault? Oh, I thought for a minute.
Never mind, Ralph.
I thought maybe that was mine.
Well.
Ugh, ass. All right, let's talk about the fact that, can you feel it in the air?
Love?
Yes.
Hmm? Between.
As we speak, JoJo is filming her Bachelorette season as we speak. It's officially, they're in production, and JoJo mm-hmm. is the next Bachelorette, and they're actually filming as we speak. And creator of the show, Mike Fleiss, says she's got 20 great guys from which to choose. She's taking it very seriously, and everyone is very confident that she'll find love. So it's, we live in exciting times.
Ralph, I was out last week, so I missed the Bachelor finale breakdown with you and the Pete. But were you pleased with who Ben selected to be his wife? Okay.
Bad choice.
And B, were you pleased with JoJo being named the Bachelorette? Because I know a lot of people were hoping for Jubilee.
No.
No one was hoping for Jubilee.
A lot of people were hoping for Jubilee.
Nobody was hoping for Jubilee. Sit down. Sit down.
So JoJo's a good Bachelorette?
Come at me with your dilettante knowledge of the Bachelor and try to match with my expertise.
I'm not claiming to know anything about your Bachelor.
Would Jubilee. No!
I saw online that a lot of people were interested in Jubilee being the Bachelorette. That's all.
Jubilee may have been interested, but that was the only one. No.
What was wrong with the choice that Ben made?
Well, Lauren was just an empty vessel. She's just a sap. JoJo was the obvious choice. But, as I said at the time, Ben's loss is America's gain because now we get an entire season worth of JoJo.
Oh, okay.
So,
right.
We get to spend more time with her, and Ben loses.
I read online that Juan Pablo was interested. No, I really did. In being on The Bachelorette because he became really enamored with JoJo.
Yeah.
And he was awful, right?
He was awful. We don't want him anywhere
at
near
all.
Her. No, it's unacceptable.
Oh.
All right. Getting ahead of myself.
Okay.
Amy Schumer seems like just a good gal.
She sure does.
She went to see Hamilton on Saturday night in New York, of course, smash hit Broadway musical. Oh, I wish Kevin was here so I could ask him who Hamilton was about. That would be so much fun. George Hamilton, the guy who's very tan. So she goes to see it. At intermission, like you do, you go there out to the lobby and you can have some overpriced drinks.
Mm.
You get those little plastic cups with about a half a shot of booze in it.
Yeah, like $15 each.
Yeah. She went with a few pals. The bill came to $77 for cocktails at halftime. Not halftime, right? It's not really what they call it at Broadway, is it? Intermission.
Right.
So she added a tip on for the wait staff or the bartenders working there at the theater of $1,000.
Whoa!
Wow.
$1,000 tip on a $77 cocktail tab.
That's a great tip.
That's a great tip.
Hot take, Ellie.
Can you imagine how excited those people must have been to get that payout? Because I guarantee you, probably all those bartenders are all struggling New York actors, and that probably made their life. They'll never forget that. So easy to make people happy.
By throwing away around a lot of money.
Throwing away. Did you hear the first way I said it?
I heard it. Not rewarding.
That's ridiculous. I'd never pay that much in a tip.
I'm a good tipper, by the way.
No,
I'm not $1,000 on 77 good tipper, but I'm a good tipper.
No, you're not.
I am.
No, you're a calculator.
I'm very generous when
you're
it comes
a human
to
calculator.
The wait staff.
That's 21%. Don't dare round up.
Now, having said that, I've never had a meal that cost more than $15.
That's
so
true. It's easy to be a big tipper at Denny's.
Right.
You can tip in quarters.
So if I put, $3 down on that, I look great.
Yeah. And for some reason, when this news broke, everyone thought of us. It's not really showbiz news, but it is white jeans news. You know what we've always said about white pants here on the Kevin and Bean Show?
I know what we used to say about it back when we were allowed to, yes.
But we can't really talk about that anymore. But white pants used to signify something significant here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know if you're aware, Allie, what the white pants was a signal for. That a woman who wore white pants enjoyed certain activities. Well, you'll be happy to know. Old Navy has announced their new white jeans are completely mess-proof.
Oh, no.
Yes?
What does that mean?
It means that they've tested them and anything wipes right off of them. Wine, ketchup, coffee, juice, and other commonly spilled items wipe right off our new mid-rise Stay White Rockstar Super Skinny jeans.
Dear.
The new white jeans are stain-resistant.
Okay.
Any staining liquid beads right up and is able to be wiped off. If any staining does occur in these white jeans, they will come clean with just one washing. So the new stain-resistant technology will help white jean wearers everywhere, keeping from getting stains in their white jeans.
That is good news.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It all sort of came together, and apparently many Kevin and Bean listeners thought of us when that news broke for some reason.
I actually do like white pants.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Constance Wu. She is 34 years old today. Reese Witherspoon. Witherspoon? Reese Witherspoon is 40. Did you give a bell to Reese Witherspoon?
Yes, I did. She's very attractive.
Agree. Really?
Dis.
What?
Diss.
What is wrong with you?
No. Diss. Look, she's
agree.
She's 40, but she's still very attractive.
Oh,
has nothing
Bean.
To do with her numbers.
Oh, you're the worst.
She's attractive.
But she's not Belle.
Yeah, she is.
No.
I think so. Chip, what do you think?
Sure. I don't care.
Chip's barely paying attention to us. Keegan-Michael Key's 45 years old. Bob Costas, the sportscaster, is 64. I'm starting to sober up. And Will Shatner, Captain James T. Kirk, T.J. Hooker, Denny Crane, the stuff of legend. What a career. He is 85 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Can't stop the spirits when they need you. This life is more than just a read-through.
California.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Comedian Ari Shaffir joins us in moments here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. It's called What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Good. Boy, we got some good calls here today. Ralph, I'm glad you're in here with us because I want to start with Barbara. She's on line 4, joining us from Mira Loma, and she's got a question here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Barbara, thanks for holding on. What's going on?
Well, I'm really curious. I mean, Batman is a good guy, and Superman is a good guy.
True.
So why would you pit the two best heroes in the whole world against each other? It doesn't make any sense.
You know what, Barbara, you bring up an excellent point. Here's the backstory of this film and why it got made like this, is that there's a famous scene in a famous comic book called The Dark Knight, done by Frank Miller, where Batman and Superman do fight because Superman has been tasked by the government to kind of shut Batman down. It takes place in the further in the future in their careers. So they have been friends and they have worked together, and then this famous fight happens, and everyone loves this scene because it was so groundbreaking at the time. So what they've done is they've sort of taken that scene and they've kind of worked it into this film, and apparently in the film, Superman has been responsible for a bunch of destruction because of his fight with General Zod in the Man of Steel movie, and Batman believes that he's a threat to mankind, and so that's why they have to go up against each other. But I believe that by the end of the film, they'll come to some sort of understanding.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that, and I knew that you were the comic book king. I knew you'd have an answer for me.
Thank you, Barbara. You're very sweet.
Thank you for the call.
But I'm bothered, too. I would rather see them meet and then work together and be friends, and especially in the first time they've ever been on the big screen together.
Right?
I thought that would have been a cooler
There's
way
so
to go.
So much sadness and fighting in the world. Let's bring them together.
We're all just people.
We're all just people.
How do you feel? Thank you very much for the call, Barbara. How do you feel, Ralph? Because I know you're excited about the Civil War movie. That's also a bunch of good guys fighting against one another. Does that bother you?
But the difference is that the Marvel Universe took the time to introduce those characters and then have them work alongside each other. So when the tables turn, there's a lot at stake because they've got a prior history, a relationship together.
Plus, it's a period piece.
It's not a period piece. It doesn't take place during
not
the Civil
during
War.
During the Civil War, Allie. You're so confused.
Yeah. Apologies.
All right, let's try Alex. He's on line 2. He's in Downey. It sounds like he legitimately needs our help. Alex, welcome to the show, sir. What's going on?
Yeah, hi. So basically, I have this sleeping disorder. It's called sleep paralysis. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No, what's sleep paralysis?
So basically what it is when you're in that stage between wakefulness and sleep,
mm-hmm.
Your body is frozen, but you're conscious, you're awake. So basically you can't talk. No, you can't move.
This is my worst nightmare of all time. This is the thing I'm always talking about that I'm terrified is going to happen in surgery, is that I can't tell people I'm awake.
Alex, this is something that you also get panic attacks and terror, right?
It's not sort of a panic attack. It's more when I'm bound to, fall asleep, say at night. But I do sometimes also experience some sleep attacks. I just fall asleep at a random given, not when I'm driving or and when I'm in a comfortable state, reading a book.
Right.
What are the doctors telling you about this? I mean, is there anything they can do to help you?
Funny part, there is no doctor that's telling me because I have a religious father who tends to believe that praying will help solve all my problems.
No.
Is he a Christian scientist?
No, he's just a He's just a religious father.
Is he not? Is he just too cheap to pay the deductible?
I'm sorry.
Is he just too cheap? Is that why he doesn't want to take you to the doctor? Because it costs money, or does he? Is he just? Oh, he's no, against no, no, all
no,
medicine.
No, we're financially great, but it's just his beliefs and his morals tend to just, you know.
Do you have health insurance, Alex? Do you have health insurance?
Yes, I do.
Well, I mean, I hate to say to go against your parents, but I think you can get yourself to a doctor and get checked out, can't you?
Well, I'm only 17, so I don't know if I can do that. I'm not sure.
You should try. That's the type of thing that's significant enough in your life. It's enough of a health issue that you should have that looked at and see if there's some relief you can get. I agree with Ralph. You should do it anyway.
Okay.
Especially if it can lead to full-blown narcolepsy, you could be driving and you could potentially hurt yourself or others. So that's a problem.
Yeah, well, the only time I've ever experienced sleeplessness when I'm driving is probably when I'm coming home from school or coming home from work.
Well, that's, you need to stop going to work and school.
Yeah. Stay home and pray. Just stay home and pray.
We got to move on, Alex, but take it seriously and see a doctor, okay? Will you do that?
No problem. I really do appreciate for the advice.
Yeah, thank you for calling. We really appreciate you. Let's try Rich Corona, please. Line 3 up next on Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Rich Corona was a great name, by the way.
Rich
for like a private eye.
What's up, party people?
What's up, Rich Corona? Private eye. What's up with you?
Hi, Rich.
What can we do for you, sir?
What is this I hear about CBS selling the radio stations?
Yes.
Yeah, CBS has had an ass full of radio, and I can't really say I blame them.
CBS has been in the radio business since 1928, but they have gotten to the point where they no longer believe in it as the future. So they're talking about unloading the radio stations, either spinning it off into their own company or breaking up the stations and selling it to a bunch of other owners. Yes.
This is a colossal disaster. Chocolate milk ice cubes, colossal.
Look,
what are we going to do without you guys?
Well, first of all, we don't know that you're going to be without us guys. It's certainly possible a new owner could come in and go, I'm not really feeling K-Rock, and I'm certainly not feeling the Kevin DeBicho. Yes, that is a possibility. It's also possible that things will continue exactly as they are right now. We just don't know what's going to happen yet because we don't know who's going to buy us or what they're going to do with it.
Okay, well, I guess we have to keep our fingers crossed then because people will start rioting and looting if Kevin Bean go off the air.
Or Rich, you could just buy us if you want. If you want to keep us, just buy the station.
Well, let me check my wallet real quick.
All right.
Okay, I got $5.
That's a good start.
Thank you, Rich. Appreciate the call. Let's do one more. Let's get Julie on the line. She's from Murrieta. Is Murrieta in Southern California? I thought that was in Georgia. Do we have a Murrieta?
That's Marietta,
no,
I think.
That's Marietta.
Yeah. Oh, where's Murrieta?
Murrieta is near Temecula, on the way to San Diego.
All right, sure. Then I will accept it. What can we do for you, Julie? You're our final call on What's Good.
I just wanted to call in because I haven't listened to your show in a while. I haven't been working, but I started working again. I used to listen to you guys about 17 years ago, and you guys are still hilarious. You still make me laugh on the way to work, and I really appreciate that. And I just kind of wanted to catch up with you guys because last time I was listening to you, you were living near that guy, Ed, that crazy guy that had the he had goats in your front. He had goats in his front yard, and he tried to hit you when you were going to get the mail, and you were scared to death of him.
Yeah, you're trying to catch up on 17 years of people's lives in a phone call.
And whatever happened to Ed? Have you not listened for 17 years, really?
I have not listened for 17 years. But we can't get it in Murrieta, but I work in San Bernardino now, so I'm back, and it's great.
So how stunned were you, Julie, that the Kevin and Bean Show is still on the air?
I was so excited. It's still on, and it's hilarious. I mean, yes, I missed the bathroom interviews with Kevin and the White Culture Minute.
This is like a time capsule.
This is crazy.
You must not even know who I am. My name's Ralph. I wanted to introduce myself.
I know. I had to ask my husband. He told me. Yeah. He's been on for years.
Jimmy Kimmel's not here anymore. But
I know.
Paul, the 55-year-old intern, is gone. But we're glad.
Yeah.
And we have Allie McKay.
That's right. So, I mean, a lot has changed.
The rhyming name.
It has been a long time, but we're glad that you're back, and we hope that you can listen for a while. And thank you, Julie.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye. What's good? Love that band, Cage the Elephant on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and love this man, too. Happy to welcome back to the show. Ari Shaffir joins us in studio. Hey,
Thank
Ari.
You. Thank you very much.
That was not an impressive entrance of you coming in the room, man. I'm telling you.
All broken footage.
On crutches. Ari Shaffir.
Thanks.
I what saw white Cage people Elephant. Sport were you participating in?
Yeah, it was skiing. It was the whitest of people sport.
Yeah.
Maybe skating would be the whiter sport.
Yeah, maybe so.
Figure skating, I think.
Did you fall down on your own, or could you blame somebody else for knocking
you
off the mountain?
No, nobody else. I was trying to go through the woods, sunny style. And, I just tried to make a jump, and I couldn't. I tried to pull out, and I fell. It wasn't even that bad a fall.
And it's your ankle. That's what I don't get. If you're in ski boots, which keeps you so tight in there.
Doesn't make any sense, right?
You really had to do some serious stuff.
I don't get it. I really don't get it either.
Your bones must have been so weak they were just always on the verge of breaking.
I think so. I think that's what it is.
You're not an exercise guy, right? You're like a veal.
Yeah, the tender. They tenderized it completely. That's a perfect way to put it, man.
Well,
I'm surprised I'm still alive.
Ari, of course, is the host of This Is Not Happening, which airs Tuesday nights just after midnight on Comedy Central, which is a great show, by the way.
Thanks,
although
buddy.
You have very little to do with it. When I watch that show, I think, how long is Ari on screen? 20 seconds for the whole half hour? When you bring the guests on and then you sit out, right?
Oh, yeah. The ones I don't tell a story in, I'm not in very much.
Not very much.
It's easy money.
But it's such a fascinating show because there's, I want to mention this for folks who haven't checked it out yet. The second season just started, but it's comedians, a lot of whom are new to me anyway, who just get up and tell a story, and they're all based on a theme. Like the theme is going to be family or it's going to be fear or whatever. And it's such an interesting concept, Ari. You guys do a great job with that.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah, we've been doing it as a live show for a while, for like 5-6 years. But it's cool. Just, It's a natural way to like want to hear somebody talk. Just tell some story about something that actually happened.
It's so primal to hear. It's sitting around the campfire as a caveman is what it is. You want to hear people tell stories, and you become so invested in them. Even though you don't know this person, when they say, these people are great, and you really get into it,
Yeah, you can lose yourself in it for a while.
It's fun.
Like at a party, if you hear somebody telling a really good story. Yeah. Like, hey, tell me about that time you went to the Philippines. And I was like, oh, okay.
Right? Tell me about the time you picked up a crackhead in Detroit. I could
picked
totally.
Up a crackhead?
Yeah. With the guy from Key & Peele.
Oh, Keegan-Michael Key.
Yes,
yeah, that's
that
right.
was awesome.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that one. What was he doing?
He was trying to get to play practice, saw this guy that needed help. Turns out he was a crackhead and then went on like two deals with him.
Right.
He
drove him around. He picked up a baseball bat. The guy thought he was going to get beaten.
Speaking of stand-up, Ari, you're going to be at the Irvine Improv Thursday night. Will you be performing on crutches?
Yeah, or I might just like throw them down and then hop up. I don't know what the stage is like there at the new improv. But Irvine, I'll probably be on crutches for a while.
Wow.
Or if there's any hecklers in the front row, I can jab at them.
Right. Now, you've not played the improv since it was redone?
No. Have you been there?
I have not, but we hear great things about it.
It's big, I heard.
Yeah, it's a big room.
Yeah.
What's this nonsense I hear about you retiring from comedy, at least from the road, for a period of time?
Yeah.
Like, you're taking more than a regular hiatus coming up later this year, right?
I'm going a year. After I did my next special in October,
really?
I'm going to go a year with that. Well, here's the deal. I feel like all my bits are about travel and they're not about, like, normal things. So I want to, like, stay home for a while and get, like, my heart broken, get into a fight with a neighbor. And just be able to draw from that stuff.
Huh.
Yeah, it's scary because I'll go without income for a year, but I think it's better for my stand-up.
See, I stay home a lot, so all my comedy would be like
Netflix.
Postmates and Netflix. Yeah. It would be very sad.
Do you have a picture of yourself with
Hot Dog on a Stick?
Uh-huh. Did you used to work there?
I wish. Are you kidding me?
She wasn't qualified.
No. How dare you?
She mastered the hot dog part, but the putting it on a stick was a struggle.
It'd get lost in the...
Yeah.
Ari, how long have you been doing comedy on stage for paying customers?
Like 17 years. Maybe 17 years.
Do you have any idea what that's going to feel like for you?
I'm still going to do stand-up, though.
It's you not just like won't
I
won't travel.
Be yeah, I'll just be doing it in L.A.
Oh,
or New York.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'll still be doing it 2-3 times a night.
Oh.
that doesn't like go away.
Okay, that was my fear, is that you were really just going to completely like drop out.
Yeah, no, just the road. Yeah.
Okay. Well, no one blames you there. you still going to do the podcast?
Yeah, you know how it is. Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Podcast,
so really, nothing's changing.
Really, almost nothing is changing.
All right, there's a beam. Calm down is what we're saying.
If I'm in the city, I'm only there once a year anyway, so it's just less.
This is Ari's weird way of explaining that no one wants to hire him around the country anymore. I mean, that's really all is happened here.
It's like a forced retirement. Where it's
all
like,
the gigs have dried up. All
I
right.
say I was boycotting Letterman until he booked me.
Ari Shaffir is here. The show is called This Is Not Happening, Tuesday nights just after midnight. 12. It's so confusing when a show's on at 12:30. Like, I don't know how to say the time. You know what I mean?
I get so many people on Twitter going like, what do you mean? I put it in my DVR and it's not there.
Right. So it's Wednesday morning at 12:30 a.m., but really it's Tuesday just after midnight.
Anyway, I have a new plan. We start the new day at 4 a.m.
I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great
Everybody's
idea.
Everybody's up at midnight. That's not a weird – but 4 a.m., that's if you're up at 4, that's a new day.
That's a real demarcation.
Yes.
I like it.
I like it.
How
All
do
right.
we get that going? Is
Ari is here. A quick break. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Ari Shaffir in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Popular, famous, handsome comedian. He is the host of This Is Not Happening on Comedy Central Tuesday nights.
Handsome. I like that.
Ari, you strike me as the kind of guy whose favorite band of all time would be a band I've barely heard of.
Oh,
He's
yeah.
calling you a hipster.
Two Times a Lady? That's probably my favorite.
That's your favorite band of all time?
Yeah, they're great.
See what I mean? this is not happening.
I was going to say, is that even real?
No.
No.
But I am proud of myself for coming up with a name that sounded like a band.
Yeah, I was buying it. you're still doing your podcast. Still very popular, right?
Yeah, still doing the podcast. That's fun.
You have learned, as have we who have listened to it, so much from the kind of podcast you do. Explain what it's all about. Explain what the...
I take a topic. It's kind of like... These are the people in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I take a topic and I try to get someone who has some level of expertise about it. So, like, I could interview you about being University of Maryland, let's just say.
Right.
That probably wouldn't be the greatest, actually.
That would be bad. That would be a bad podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. But about radio, maybe. About the early days of radio and K-Rock in general when it was starting up and those crazy times. Stuff like that.
You're a curious person, which I admire very much. And, you're interested in lots of different subjects. And
I try not to judge, too. I try to just, like, get the understanding of what it's like to be that.
What did you learn from the episode that I will listen to but haven't gotten to yet recently about the psychedelic drugs?
Oh, I learned I got to do a lot more.
Mm. Right?
Yeah. Peyote, I want to try. I got to do DMT about 10 more times. I have a. You ever miss someone? You ever miss someone in your life that you haven't seen in a long time? I feel that way about acid right now.
Huh.
It's like acid. What happened to him?
Interesting.
Have you done acid?
Yeah, a couple times.
But it's been years.
Yeah, but I'm so scared of it.
Well, see, that's where I'm at. I'm not a drug guy at all.
I know. I've been trying to get you to do mushrooms for 5 years.
Every once in a while, we'll have Dr. Drew on, and I'll say to him, Dr. Drew, everybody's talking about the fill in the blank, whatever the hot drug is. I said, let me try it one time. And anytime it's one of these psychedelic drugs, he says, you can try it one time, but it literally could break your brain for life.
No.
And that's terrifying to me.
That's okay.
Is that wrong?
It's so hard to argue with doctor or anything. But
haven't there been people who have really – who have done LSD or something and have just not been the same?
If you have schizophrenia – latent schizophrenia, it can bring it out, but that's it.
If you're otherwise
if you have a
healthy person
in your family, then I would be careful. Otherwise, no.
What's the one you do with a shaman, and he kind of leads
Ayahuasca?
You through it? I want to do that.
I want to try that too.
Oh, I want to do it so bad. Yes.
Yeah, I want to do that too.
And you usually puke for like an hour, and then you have like the most intense memories of your life.
Yeah, it's like they say it's like 2 years of therapy in 10 hours.
Wait, hold on a sec. What do you mean intense memories, Allie? You mean you remember things from your past that you had forgotten?
Past lives from your youth. It takes you on this journey, and you basically relive a bunch of stuff, and then when you come out of it, you feel healed.
Yeah. Yeah, my friend who I just interviewed said he got some. And I'm like, aren't you supposed to do it with a shaman? Isn't it dangerous to do it by yourself? And he goes, yeah, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway.
I don't know if I'd go that route for my
neither.
First time. But...
Me neither. Shane Moss doesn't mess around.
What's the shaman supposed to do? What's his job?
Say, oh, wait a little word out of the way. I don't know.
Right?
Just get you in the mood, I guess.
You're
or
supposed
guide
to...
you.
Yeah, he guides you through it.
Yeah, my friend took one, and she they gave her stuff, and she was like, I'm not really feeling this. And the shaman went up to her and said, lay back. And then he took owl feathers and rubbed them on her eyes. And she was, I don't know if this is what. There it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
owl feather.
Why haven't you done it, Ari?
I don't know. A little laziness. That's some
I
of
mean,
it.
If somebody showed up with some and said, hey, let's do it, would you do it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Would you do it as a podcast? Would that be interesting for you to record it?
I mean, it's like 10 hours or something.
Well, you could always edit the best pieces together.
Yeah, I could do that.
Wouldn't that be fascinating?
I would definitely want to talk about it like right afterwards, like coming right out of it. Just be like, what did you learn before you forget? Because you sort of like hold on to these psychedelic memories for like a short amount of time, kind of like a dream. And if you can like verbalize them, then you can really take them back with you.
Yeah, yeah. So do you believe that psychedelics make a person more creative?
Yeah, I mean, I'll credit that with part of my success. I think a large part of it. Psychedelics also help cure my depression.
Does it unlock something? Is that what it is?
It just makes you, it takes away your ego completely. So you can see yourself. You know how when you see somebody else and you can just sort of judge them? But when you look at yourself, you don't judge yourself the same way. You're like, well, that's different because I'm, you know, whatever
your
idea. It lets you look at yourself as a stranger. But you know all of yourself. So it's not like you don't really understand what that person is. But you just look at that person and you can just completely sum them up. So, like, I give a lot of money to homeless people after I take mushrooms just because I'm like, they're the same as me. We got different drugs. So,
are we doing the people of this country a disservice by so tightly regulating and making illegal so many of these substances?
Yeah. I mean, they're treating depression with it like heavily now. There's John Hopkins studies about like how people have come out of it. I mean, I think so for sure, at least to research it. At least to research it. They can isolate psilocybin now. That's that like active ingredient in mushrooms and use that like in pill form to help people.
Oh, see, now this is such fascinating stuff to me.
Yeah, I get they don't want everyone just on mushrooms all the time, but you know, just try to regulate it. At least let people research.
Yeah, how do I phrase this question? Because the government makes so much of it illegal, that has put a damper on science taking it seriously as a study?
Yeah, I mean, it's like kind of like stem cell research. They were worried that women were going to intentionally have abortions to donate their kid to stem cell research.
Right.
It's like, that's what? No, that's not happening.
So there's a lot of politics involved in science.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of also the pill companies. Mm-hmm. I don't think they want people curing depression with stuff that grows, you know, a day and a half after rain.
Right.
You know? You did best time to hike though.
Oh, I picked some in Australia for the first time. I got them. I used to only get them the old-fashioned way from drug dealers. And then, I picked them
up
a cow patty.
Gotta go up to Arcata. First rain, you're out there taking a hike.
Yeah.
Ari, you did Getting Dug with High yesterday?
Yeah, it was great.
How was that?
I didn't get high for 3 days intentionally beforehand, so I could really experience it.
What are you like on pot? Are you...
I'm pretty chill. Yeah, I laugh a lot. I laugh till I cry.
Oh, that's going to be a good episode then.
Yeah. I was with a guy from 311, Peanut.
Oh, yeah. We love Peanut.
He's been in here?
Yeah, many times.
Yeah. Yeah, he was nice. I never met him before. Yeah, yeah. I like that show.
It's a very funny show. You have a fun life, don't you, Ari?
I sure do. I get to do whatever the hell I want. I go to strange countries. I do drugs everywhere. Smoke weed in China. Do whatever I want, man. I have a great life. I'm really enjoying it right now.
Where'd the haircut come from for season two of This Is Not Happening?
I saw a dude with it at the Stand in New York, this comedy club. I saw a dude with the mohawk, and I'm like, that looks cool. And then I saw Mad Max like twice in a week, and I was like, I'm getting that thing.
I think it worked for you.
I think so, too.
I really liked it. It was very sharp.
Yeah, I was surprised. The guy, the barber, was like, I don't understand what you mean. I had to explain it to him. He gave me some weird one. I was like, no, a mohawk. And then I had to like, Google a picture of Travis Bickle.
That's exactly what you think of the first time you see it. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, okay. He goes, I don't think this will look good on you. I'm like, I don't think so either, but just do it. And I can just shave it off.
All right. We're almost out of time here. You're playing the Irvine Improv. First time in a long time.
My hour's great right now, everybody. Come out in the OC.
Tickets are only $20, by the way. And it's going to be this Thursday night at 8 o'clock. See Ari Shaffir on stage while you still can because he's packing it away in a while, except for when he's not. He's never going to perform except for the nights that he's on stage. That's what we
learned. Mushrooms for a year.
The podcast is called The Skeptic Tank. It's available on iTunes. This Is Not Happening Here. It's Tuesday nights on Comedy Central. Ari, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. He's saying, wake up, you need to
make money. Johnny Cochran is alive every Tuesday nights on the FX Networks, American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson. We'll talk to actor Courtney B. Vance coming up next hour here on K-Rock. So excited about that. Yes. Man, he's great on that show, isn't he?
Can you watch your potty mouth, please, though?
What are you talking about?
It's Johnny Penis Rin.
Stupid.
Come on.
So dumb.
We have a responsibility.
So dumb.
Broadcasters.
to clean up our act.
That's coming up first, though. Ralph's here, unfortunately, with the show this week.
What's going on? How dare you? You'd weep without me. Weep.
Really?
Yes.
Wrong.
Hey, let me give you something because you're nice.
What is it, Ralph?
It is passes to a red carpet world premiere. These are cool events. Mm-hmm. And this movie looks awesome. It's called The Boss with Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Bell, Peter Dinklage, and many more. Melissa plays a titan of industry, a Martha Stewart type, if you will, when she is sent to prison after she's caught for insider trading. And then when she emerges, she has to sort of reinvent herself. It looks like she has some of the same old habits, even in her new life. Looks very funny. Melissa McCarthy stars in The Boss. It's in theaters everywhere on April the 8th, but you get to go to the world premiere March 28th at the Regency Village Theater in Westwood. If you'd like to attend, and why wouldn't you? Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that phone number. Get a pair of passes to the premiere of The Boss. First, I thought it was a movie about Springsteen. I was very excited.
Yeah.
Remember when I sold all those Girl Scout cookies? Maybe that was it, but no, it's not. Speaking of tickets, a lot of people are asking, hey, whatever happened to that Hollywood Babylon show you used to do with that guy, Kevin Smith?
Nobody's asking that.
We've been off for a couple weeks because Kevin has been directing an episode of The Flash.
How exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. How very exciting for him. Me, I'm just kind of sitting here on my thumbs waiting for him to come back. But this weekend, we return to the Improv on Melrose on Friday night at 10 p.m.
No.
It's the return of Hollywood Babylon.
No.
I'm sure Kevin will have many tales from the set of The Flash. He was sending me some pictures and stuff, and boy, it just looks so cool. So,
Now, being off a few weeks, do you save up all that stuff, or do you just stay topical to that week?
Keep it to the week's news, because you could get out of control if you try to recap everything. But
because I'm going to go, so I'm just wondering.
We're going to take a look at the top stories of the week, and also all the usual shenanigans that we do in Hollywood Babylon. You can go to improv.com, and click on the show for this Friday to get your tickets and more information. But
my answer is no.
All right, that guy won't be there, but we hope that
I'll be there, Ralph.
No, you won't. Stop saying that.
Okay.
Dancing with the Stars, it's a very dangerous proposition. That's why I haven't done it.
Someone get hurt?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Niall DeMarco.
Oh, he is my favorite.
Niall DeMarco is the deaf model from America's Next Top Model.
Okay.
And he is dancing.
He's dancing as a celebrity, or he's a dancer on the show?
He's dancing as a celebrity.
Okay.
And so he's already got a difficult proposition at best, dancing without being able to hear the music.
Yeah.
Although apparently he's doing very well. But he was rehearsing with his partner, Peta Murgatroyd.
Sure.
you do?
She was a Scooby-Doo villain, right?
Like Zoinks, Scoob! It's Peta Murgatroyd! they were rehearsing together, and she elbowed him in the eye. Got four stitches over his eye. So it's a full contact sport, this Dancing with Stars.
He can't hear, and now he has one eye.
Right?
That's not okay.
This guy is going downhill quickly. But apparently he's healing up, and all is well.
So Dancing with the Stars, is that the show that they put in the time slot when The Bachelor is gone? That's the ABC deal? Bachelor leaves, then Dancing with the Stars, then when that's over, then they bring The Bachelorette back.
Yes.
I don't know when
Dancing with the Stars airs. I'm not really sure what the schedule is, but it's really, really, really not important.
Mm-hmm. I know Doug Flutie's on.
There you go. This is great.
I mean, you're just
heaping pile upon pile is what you're doing. What would you do if you were in love and horrible, horrible news you get that the man that you love died in a fishing trip, fell off the boat, drowned. It's all over. It'd be sad, right?
Yes.
It would depend on the will, I guess, and what he left for you.
Then what would happen if you found out that he faked his own death?
Again, not shocking.
Yeah, sure this happened to you quite a bit, Allie. But Olivia Newton-John's longtime love.
No!
Patrick McDermott.
Everyone thought he was faking it.
Right? Rumors swirling once again that he faked his own death, and he's living with a German woman south of the border in Mexico.
I thought this was determined two or three years ago. We found out that that's exactly what happened.
Well, no one knows exactly what happened. That's the problem. Oh. It's just a series of rumors and speculation.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. He did withdraw his life savings and a lot of Olivia's money as well from two banks just before he vanished. He filed for bankruptcy before he absconded with all that money. He owes Olivia Newton-John a lot of money in child support, and then he just disappeared from a fishing trip back in June of 2005. Apparently, once again, evidence has come to light that he's living with a German woman in Mexico, like you do. You know?
Okay.
I've lived with all my German women in Germany. I like to go directly to the source, because the Germans, you know, they make good things.
I've heard that, yeah. Who could do that to Olivia Newton-John,
right?
By the way? Not that anybody deserves it, but seriously, she's Sandy from Greece.
She's an American icon, even though she's Australian.
Right.
She's an Australian icon who now lives in America.
She's not the one that he wanted, so he just
moved on. Why are you the worst?
You're saying, Allie, if I understand correctly, he was not hopelessly devoted to her.
That's what I'm saying.
You
is that
two,
your point?
I want to tie you together and throw you in puppy leg. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. William Shatner, the captain of the Starship Enterprise, 85 years old today.
By the way, let that sink in for a moment, please. He's 85. I don't know when the last time was you saw or heard William Shatner in an interview. He couldn't be sharper.
Yes.
He was
always
just
busy.
On with us a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, just had him on a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Always doing TV shows, always writing books, always doing charity events. I mean, the guy is active every day. It's unbelievable the stamina he has at 85.
Riding horses.
Riding horses, yeah.
Does it all.
God bless him.
Same age as Adam West from TV's Batman. It's like these two icons of the 60s are just both superhuman. They're just ridiculously active and sharp and healthy.
I was talking to Dave earlier today. When you think about it, Spock is dead. Sulu is dead. Chekhov is dead.
No.
Bones is dead.
Chekhov is not dead.
He's not?
No.
Thought he was.
Walter Koenig is alive and well.
Captain Kirk. Sorry, Mr. Koenig. Captain Kirk, though, stronger than ever.
Yes.
A hot take.
It really is.
Some are dead.
Let's go through the entire cast of other TV shows.
No, but what I'm saying
and
is
wrongly identify who's dead and alive.
What I'm saying is this is a show with a lot of people on it from the 1960s,
right.
Most of whom are now dead.
Yes.
William Shatner is not only still alive, but is still vital and active.
And
that's
your
that's
point
my point.
Exactly is what?
That is my point.
Some people are dead and other people are alive?
Again,
really? Is that your position?
Yes.
That
take.
Some people who were alive in the 60s are now no longer alive? And some of them are. That is your hot take. That is where you're drawing the line in the sand, planting your feet and saying something.
All right. When you say it that way, it makes it sound like it was not a valuable point to
it's
make.
It's not. It's
but
pointless. It's
I stand
it's
by
the
it.
Rambling of a madman.
My point is happy
I know
birthday,
what your point
William
is.
Shatner. That's what I'm saying.
It's stupid.
Wow. Mother of God.
Awesome. Right, Chip?
Oh, Chip.
Bob Costas is 64 years old today. Keenan Michael Key is 45. Reese Witherspoon turns 40. And actress Constance Wu celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Love the Weezer so much. And I will be on KRock.com this afternoon at what time, Chip? 2 o'clock? Is that what time it is?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock today for Weezer in the Red Bull Sound Space performing live and talking to our lovely Kat Corbett all about the new White album that's getting ready to come out in a couple of weeks. Very excited about Weezer being back here at KRock. They're the best. Right?
Well, you could have flown down for it, like a real fan.
Oh, well, I can walk. It's a good. It's a good experience streaming it through KRock.com. That'll be fine. Courtney B. Vance from the People versus O.J. Simpson later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited about that. First, though, let's talk about bringing your kids to the workplace. Are there any jobs or circumstances where that's okay, do you think, Allie? Anything spring to mind where you go, you know what, fine, bring your kid to work?
Daycare. If you work in a daycare, bring your child to work.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, there are situations, if something happens with school, somebody wasn't able to drive them, that type of thing, somebody's sick, you're waiting for someone else to pick them up. Absolutely. There are emergency situations as well as other situations. Bring your kid to work day or days that you make arrangements like, oh, we're going to have a guest in. My child likes that person. You make arrangements, but you don't...
So there are exceptions to the no kids rule, but in general, it should not be a policy at any workplace where kids can come. Like I don't think we would like it here at K-Rock if somebody brought their kid to work every day. It would be a pain in the ass, right?
Yes.
Well, it's in the news right now. This issue is being talked about a lot because of a story that happened a couple of weeks ago or about 10 days ago with Adam LaRoche, who is a first baseman, I want to say, with the Chicago White Sox, very popular player. And under contract, by the way, and was set to make $13 million playing professional baseball this year. Now, he has for some time been bringing his 14-year-old son to work with him every single day. Mm-hmm. In fact, this was going on in spring training again this year. The kid was out at the ballpark wearing a little uniform, sitting in the dugout. He had a locker in the White Sox locker room right next to dad's.
And participating in drills.
Yes, kitchen. Participating in drills. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, by all accounts, there's nothing wrong with this kid. This isn't a story about a kid who was a nuisance or a nightmare or was getting in the way or anything like that. But management came to Mr. LaRoche and said, you know what? We love your kid. We're happy you have the opportunity to spend this time with him. But could you dial it back and maybe not bring him every single day? I mean, this kid last season, Allie, was traveling with the team to their away games.
Yes.
So he's on the plane. He's on the bus. He's at the hotel. He's in the dugout. So this kid was basically an embedded baseball player.
Yeah, he was known as the 26th man.
Right. So what did Adam LaRoche do when he was asked to dial back bringing his kid to work? He quit the team.
Yeah.
What's going on here, by the way, do you think, with Adam LaRoche? Look, more power to him for being an involved father and for enjoying spending time with his kid. But is there something – does he have a screw loose that he thinks that's okay to subject his kid to the other 100 people that work for the White Sox organization every day?
Well, I think a lot of people, too, are saying, well, good for him, family first and all of that, which is great when you have millions of dollars to fall back on. If this was Joe Schmo working, you know, at a 7-Eleven and they told him not to bring his kid in, mm-hmm. that guy's still going to his job the next day. So let's not paint him as this hero. He
could afford to walk
away. Absolutely.
He could afford to walk away. Were the White Sox wrong to say to him, don't bring your kid every day, if the kid wasn't creating a problem?
Depends on who you ask. Some of his teammates said he wasn't a problem. None of us had a problem with it. But now it's coming out that behind the scenes, people were complaining. The guys on the team were like, hey, listen, I can't be myself. I can't be a man with this child around. I'm constantly watching what I say. And to top it off, he's out there participating in drills. He's on the mound. He's taking batting practice. You're taking time away from men who have worked their whole life to get to this point.
Yeah.
It just,
yeah, I can see that.
All a bit weird to me.
And I can also see that, especially in a job like this, there is the camaraderie of being on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
And he's non-team personnel who's essentially pretending to be on the team.
Yeah.
And I can see how that might lie a little flat with some people. Now, none of the other players are coming out publicly to say that they had a problem with, but there have been rumors that some did but just didn't want to say it because they liked the kid and they liked Adam. So they didn't want to create waves. But it definitely has been a conversation starter about bringing your kid to work. And I'm curious if our listeners have any experiences like this where they have been at a job where somebody has brought their kid to work and it was a real pain in the ass, where they really didn't enjoy it and wish that it hadn't happened. You think we get calls like that?
I think you'll get calls both ways. People that say it's fine and people that say kids have no place being at a place of employment, because it's going to depend obviously on the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but,
obviously, yeah.
And a lot of people like me that don't have kids, I look at it from a different standpoint as those that do. You all think your children are special little snowflakes. I don't. I think your kids are annoying.
You can call with either opinion. That's fine. You can call with either opinion. A lot of barren women are bitter,
very
so that's
bitter.
Fine.
Very bitter.
1-800-520-1067. If you bring your kid to work or if you have a work situation where others bring their kid to work, how do you feel about it? Is it a good idea? That's the wrong button. Is it a good idea, bad idea? Let's start with David. He's in East L.A. He's on line one calling us at 1-800-520-1067. Hey, David, thanks for dialing in. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. I bring my kids to work all the time whenever I have to. But it's a little different. I'm a truck driver, so I'm pretty much on my own.
Oh, yeah.
So you're
yeah.
alone. So
yeah,
that's just like a little companion, little buddy.
Well, I mean, yeah, you would say that, but they get tired pretty easily and they want to go home right away.
You're like, I'm on a route.
Yeah. No, but the thing is that if I take them into the rail or the port, then they have to be hiding. So sometimes they're back there for a minute and then, you know, they get rested.
Yeah, it's fine if the kid's in the truck with you, but what you're saying is when you get to your location where you have to load or unload, sometimes that's okay too.
No, it's only when I go into the rail or the port to get my container that I'm going to haul and take it to the customer where they have to hide. If they find them, then I'll get banned, but they never really check in here.
So why do you do it? Why do you take your kids with you on the road?
Well, sometimes, you know, I mean, I get to go home every day, but, you know, sometimes they want to come with me if it's a weekend or if they're on vacation. So I'll tell them, you know, you're going to come with me, but you're going to be stuck with me all day. I'm not going to make no preferences on going out of my way to take you home because, you know,
there's not a lot
of places to park this truck.
That's pretty cool, though. That's pretty fun for you and sometimes for the kid, I guess. Thanks for the call, Dave. We appreciate that. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Bring in your kids to work. What say you? Your call's next on K-Rock. Lightning's voice, by the way, makes my dogs bark whenever it comes on the radio. I don't know if you've had the same experience, but it's pretty high. Talking about Adam LaRoche from the Chicago White Sox, who walked away from a professional baseball job because he was told he couldn't bring his kid to work any day. He had been bringing his son to the ballpark every day, and they said not so much, and he said, see ya. Natalie writes in specifically regarding the baseball player. It's a workplace like anywhere else and not a daycare. Can you imagine if every member of that organization brought their children with them every day? It would be a madhouse. Just because he's a popular player doesn't mean he should be held to a different standard. Adam writes in, the owner of the company I work for regularly brings his kids to work. One time he brought one of his kids to work and had the Asian guy tutor his kid in math. Well, I mean, that's good thinking, right? So we're taking your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Alex Covina, please, line four, up first on the Kevin Bean Show. Alex, thanks a lot for calling. What say you?
What's going on, guys? How are you guys?
You tell us, man. What's happening?
So, I'm Mexican, to start off right there, and I have one of those overprotective mothers from, you know, still doesn't let me go, and I'm 35. And ever since I was too old for daycare, which would run like age, you know, 8, 9 or something like that, every single summer from then until I was 16, I started driving myself around. I had to go to work for her at a furniture manufacturing shop in El Monte every single summer, every single day. And I would be in there, and eventually I became, like, part of the crew and, you know, started doing some things around. I learned a lot, though. It was a pretty cool experience for me, I think.
But that's a terrible way to spend your summer when you're a kid, man, is it your dad's job, right? A terrible way.
Yeah, I think it is. It wasn't, like, the greatest time to spend my summer, but I think looking back at it, I think it made me appreciate what hard labor is, and that's why I went to school, and that's why I don't do it.
Oh, how about that? That's interesting. And the other people that worked there didn't have any problem with you being around?
As far as you know?
Not really. I mean, for the most part, I was in the office to start off, and, you know, when I was too young, and then eventually when I got a little older in my teens, I started kind of helping out in the back, you know, lifting boxes, stuff like that.
I gotcha.
So I feel like I became, like, a little bit of a member there. I was never, like, that annoying kid that was just running around. I might have been a little bit, like, too talkative at points, maybe a little distracting, but
Alex.
I don't think there was
ever. Alex, thank you for calling. I appreciate it so much. Let's talk to Debbie, Los Angeles, line 8, please, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Going great. It sounds like your ears perked up when you heard us say bringing your kid to work. Why?
Because it reminded me of a manager I had a few years ago. She would bring her kid a couple times during the week in the summer, and the kid was about 7 or 8, which I think is like the prime annoying year. And the little girl would just kind of walk around like she ran the office. She'd come up and yank stuff off our desk or start pushing the keyboard. You know, if her mom went to a meeting,
she would tell her daughter, oh, it's okay, you can stay here with Debbie. So then I was kind of left in charge of this bratty kid that nobody liked.
Oh, that's the worst. And by the way, because you don't want to be mean to a little kid, but on the other hand, you're there to do a job, and you shouldn't have to be spending time thinking about that, right?
Right. And it was harder because it's my manager's kid. How do you tell your manager your kid's an a-hole and you don't want to watch her?
That's tough. That's a tough one. So
I left, but I heard she continued to do it, to take her kid and just kind of pawn her off on people.
Yeah, well, there's not much you can do when it's the boss. I think you're right there. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it so much. Let's go to line 5, please, out to Woodland Hills and talk to Amy. Now, Amy, you're the caller who brings your kid to work, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, I'm a homeschool teacher, and I just had an infant. I have a toddler at home as well, and I can't afford to pay someone to watch both of them at the same time, so I have to bring my infant with me to the house I teach at, and it's awful. It's really awful. I can't do a good enough or a job that's good enough. We're struggling to keep up, and, I would much rather a different position. But there's always got to be a reason a parent brings a kid. I'm wondering if the baseball player, his son, he's like a teenager, I believe. So maybe
he's 14,
dabbling.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he was dabbling. I hate to put it out there, but maybe he was getting into trouble. And just to kind of show him a harder work ethic, he's bringing him with him.
Yeah, but I think this has been going on for a long time, like the last couple seasons, right, Allie? It wasn't like it just started.
Yeah, he wound up saying in an interview that they don't really believe in school, so it's just kind of a great thing for him to come. But there's also a daughter in this family. You don't hear about her coming to work, so it wasn't really – if it was really about bonding and getting to spend so much time with your kid, where's his daughter?
And where's the mom, too, by the way?
Right.
I feel terrible for you, Amy. Look, you're in a tough spot. I mean, you can't afford to not work. You can't afford daycare for both of your kids. You want to do the best you can for your family. I mean, I don't know what to tell you in that situation, but I think you're right. I hope that people are understanding that you're not doing it just to be a brat. You're doing it because you've got to.
Oh, absolutely. Otherwise, I mean, I would have to quit if they didn't let me. So they kind of know I'm worth too much to let go.
Well, good for you. I hope it all works out for you, Amy. Thanks for the call, my dear. Let's take one more. Let's make it Sarah Los Alamitos, please. Line 1. She's got a further thought on the Adam LaRoche story. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi. As a single mom, like after my son goes to school, he goes to daycare. But in emergency situations, I am the parent that brings him to work. However, I personally bring things to occupy him so he stays out of the way because I don't want him to be that annoying kid in the office.
And I think there's always going to be situations where you can't help it. You have to bring your child to work. Things come up. I think that's understandable. And any good boss would understand that. Any good coworker would understand that. But every single day, that's where it's a bit much.
Yeah, and I have to agree, but I believe I read in an article that it was within his contract for him to bring him.
Yeah, he had a verbal agreement with the team that said he could bring him as much as he wanted. But
so, Sarah, let me ask you this. Do you think the White Sox acted improperly to ask him to stop bringing his kid to the ballpark?
I think if they did, if they said specifically to stop bringing him, then yes, because they had that verbal contract.
They told him to scale back.
If they had specified to scale back and maybe offered alternatives, like maybe only bring him in these situations, then
it does also kind of. It also kind of seems like maybe Adam LaRoche didn't want to play baseball anymore.
Well, let's be honest too. If he was batting more than .210, this wouldn't be an issue for the team.
It might have been a different story. All right, Sarah. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening.
Thank you,
Alan McKay. You're not helping me at all, by the way.
Sorry.
I just told you that I'm already nervous enough because I admire our next guest so much. I don't want to screw it up. And then right before we go on, Allie says, "Oh, look, he went to Harvard and got his master's degree from Yale."
I'm just saying he's a very brilliant man. Don't
I know
screw it
that.
Up,
that's why I'm already nervous about it, and now you're just piling on and making it worse for me. Jeez, Allie. Our next guest has been delighting audiences for over 30 years in lots of movies and TV shows like Law & Order and ER and The Closer and Masters of Sex. And, of course, we are obsessed with him every Tuesday night on FX from the American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. He is the great Courtney B. Vance joining us here on K-Rock. Hello, Mr. Vance. How are you, sir?
Oh, good morning to you.
It is our pleasure to have you on, and I almost don't know where to start because we've been so obsessed with this series. When I first heard they were going to make this a miniseries, I thought, no one wants to see that. I had no idea how great it was going to be and how riveting that case was because it's now been long enough that I've forgotten most of it. What was your reaction when you were first pitched the idea of playing Johnny Cochran on TV?
Well, first of all, it was the draw was Ryan Murphy. Ryan Murphy I've known of him for quite some time, but recently because my wife is in American Crime Story.
Sure.
Bassett. So when I heard the two producers that brought their project, the O.J. Simpson story, the People V, the Jeffrey Toobin book, Run of His Life, I said that's a great match, a great marriage, and so I was poised to say yes if they would give me the nod. I wanted to be with them because I know that they were going to get underneath the material, and if it was the Jeffrey Toobin book, I know that book was phenomenal, so I was poised to jump.
Sure. Did you have any personal feelings, either positively or negatively, about Johnny Cochran? Had you given him much thought?
None. I'd met him years ago as a young actor, and a good friend of mine was invited and asked to invite some young actors to his house for a gathering. And so I was just in awe. I was actually in Johnny Cochran's house. I was, just happy to be there. And fast forward 20 years or so, and I didn't follow the trial because I was a huge O.J. Simpson fan, and so I was a little in shock that this was all happening. It was happening every day on television. I was really upset about it all. So I was there at the beginning and at the end, the Bronco chase and the verdict. So it was all new and educational to me to actually to be chosen for the role, and then to actually do my due diligence and research and find out about and then the actual script, we find out about all these wonderful things that we of course I didn't know anything, but you know, people were saying they didn't realize that some of these things were happening.
Oh no, we're learning a lot about Johnny Cochran, particularly in last week's episode. That's for sure. I mean, the guy had a very complicated life. That's a powerful mustache you wear, as Mr. Cochran, is it, Courtney? I mean, that is a killer mustache.
And that was mine. I grew that. I was very proud of my mustache.
That was all you.
That was
the hair. Now the hair was Victoria Wood. That was not me.
I read that you stayed. That you stayed away from watching video to prepare for this.
Yes.
That's amazing because you are dead on. Whenever they show old footage of Johnny Cochran, I'm like, I don't know if that's Johnny Cochran or that's Courtney B. Vance. How did you nail it without studying it?
Well, I knew that if I could, I didn't want to imitate it. And they gave us the freedom. Ryan gave us the freedom to interpret. And he trusted us and as we trusted him. And so I knew that if in my reading I found a couple kernels of information that would allow me to lock in whenever I needed to lock in, and I've learned to do that early on in my career when I was doing theater and stage work, especially my children, my Africa, the Afro Fugards play, I didn't know anything about South Africa. I didn't know anything about South African accent, and I had this 20-minute monologue, and during the play, we each did the three-hander. So I learned to, find one or two kernels of words or phrases to lock me in, and that's what I looked for. And one of the things I realized early on is that Johnny Cochran's mother realized that his ticket out of the area where they lived and into the broader world at large was education, and she mm-hmm. she place him in an all-white school, and that he would be able to.
He got a thick skin. He learned how to talk.
He learned how to deal in the world.
Right, right. Let me ask you about this. Is the great Courtney B. Vance here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about American Crime Story: The People versus O.J. Simpson. Another new episode tonight at 10 on FX. Let me ask you for two opinions on Johnny Cochran. One is, do you think he was as confident all the time as you play him, or do you think that some of it was show business, a little bit of an act, and privately he might have had some doubts sometimes about what he was doing? Because you play him as just a guy who always knows what he's doing is right.
Well, and you know that that's not true. You know that nobody knows they're right and they're confident all the time. When he's sitting on his bed at 2 in the morning with his wife, I'm sure he had his doubts about, you know, and we look at this trial. It was a year long. I think all Johnny knew was that this is because he'd been in this world for, you know, 30 plus years. So he knew the landscape. It's a marathon. Some days you win, some days you lose, but you got to keep pushing. And there were days when during the trial when Marsha and her team, you know, it's like when they came in with Chris Darden, I was in shock. Now here we go. So there were days when it was their day, and there were days when it was my day. But overall, I think we had better days than they did.
I think so. Well, I think the verdict probably reflected that. All right, and my second question for you then, and again, I'm just asking for your opinion here, is do you think that Johnny Cochran is the good guy here because in America we all deserve a defense, or do you think that so much of what he did was underhanded and damaging to America with his race baiting and everything else that he did, that maybe he's a little bit of a bad guy here too?
I think that he was he did his job. I think that the race card was thrown down by Robert Shapiro. He was the one that launched the team into this this whole area, and then of course he backed away from it. So I think Johnny did. He knew the landscape, and so he as he said to Chris Darden, "I'm not here for anybody's respect. I'm here to win."
Yeah.
His job was to poke holes in the defense's case, and unfortunately they didn't understand the landscape. He understood the landscape when the jury consultant told everyone this case was about nothing but race. He knew that he didn't need him to tell him that. He already knew it.
Yeah, right. and your dream team, I feel like you guys are playing chess, and your dream team, like last week with F. Lee Bailey understanding the importance of the glove, you know, and everything, I do feel like you guys are looking three moves down the board sometimes against the defense, and it's fascinating.
They just didn't understand the landscape. They didn't understand that, you know, when based on that, they weren't able to react fast enough, and so we did, and if you don't, you lose.
Well, if I'm telling you, Courtney, if you don't win an Emmy and if Sarah Paulson doesn't win an Emmy for Marsha Clark, then they might as well stop giving out Emmys, my friend.
All right. No, I hear you.
Well, can I ask you real quick? I have never loved you and your amazingly talented and beautiful wife more than when I saw on Twitter that you celebrated your birthday at an L.A. Kings game. Are you a big Kings fan?
I am. And we went to dinner and down at Fleming's down there in the in the Staples Center area, and I was joking at Fleming's that we're gonna go to the Kings game now. Courtney, stop it. We were there with a couple of friends, and we were on our way back to the car, and we were passing the all the statues, you know, the Jerry West and Irvin Johnson and
Luke Robitaille,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we were heading back to the car, and we stopped in front of the Magic Johnson statue, and I was taking pictures with a couple of people, and after I finished, she pulled out my Kings jersey. She brought it.
Yes.
I didn't know she brought it. And my Kings hat, and she said, let's go to the game.
Best wife ever.
That's awesome. Well, happy birthday. I know it was only a few days ago, and thank you so much for the time today. We are loving American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson, another new episode tonight at 10 on FX. Thanks for the time, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Keep it right here on K-Rock for another chance to win sold-out three-day passes to Coachella and access to the K-Rock Coachella house. By the way, just 24 days till the first weekend at Coachella. Plus, we'll qualify you to drive home in a new 2016 Jeep Renegade that happens this afternoon with Stryker at 5 p.m. 5 o'clock this afternoon on K-Rock. You win your tickets for Coachella. Hey, Ralph.
You going to see Superman v. Batman tonight? Batman v. Superman?
I am not.
Oh, you're not going.
I don't think I'm going to go.
Oh. Charbroiled!
Burnt,
dude.
I take it you're going then. Sounds like. All right.
Charbroiled!
I don't know if we had a burn,
we had a caller this morning on Kevin Amin's What's Good that we did not have time to get to who saw it last night and loved it.
Well,
so,
you know, his opinion doesn't matter.
Okay. It's just one person who's already seen it, though, who thought it was good, though.
Yes, but only my opinion matters. You realize
okay.
that.
All right.
You
well,
know that, right?
Roland might disagree with you on that, but...
What does he know?
What does he know, indeed?
Yes.
All right, it's Tuesday morning. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here at 8:55.
Real quick correction. Last hour during the Showbiz Beat, while Bean was reading a list of actors from the 60s who were dead and some that were alive.
Yeah.
That happened, first of all. You need to know that actually happened.
Yep.
He said he was going through the crew of the Starship Enterprise, and he said, well, Mr. Sulu's dead and Mr. Chekhov is dead. And I pointed out that Mr. Chekhov, Walter Koenig's the actor who played him, is very much alive.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else in the audience pointed out that George Takei, who plays Sulu,
now, very alive.
Also
now, of
very
course,
alive.
Now I know George Takei is alive, and I'm going
to
say that I don't remember mentioning Sulu.
Well,
I remember mentioning
to go to the tape.
I remember mentioning that Spock was dead, that Bones was dead, and that Chekhov was dead. And
said,
that's when you jumped in
Sulu
and said,
well.
And I don't think I said Sulu, but if I did, obviously, I apologize.
It
was an error.
You did. Pretty much you did.
I'm saying if I did, then I apologize.
It's not an if you did. You did. You said
but
it.
But I did think that Chekhov was dead, and I feel terrible about that.
Wrong.
But
you're
my
wrong.
Whole point is, look, you guys are
no,
all
no,
missing the point.
No, you do
the
not.
Point.
There is no point.
The
and
point
you
is.
You don't get to defend something that has no point.
That William Shatner is not only alive, he's in... At the peak of his powers, that's what I'm saying, is that he's still so active and so good. That
so
was
he's
my point.
Like so alive.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's extra alive.
Extra.
Yeah.
I would say he's even more alive than George Takei is right now.
Wow. Oh, my.
Right?
I beg to differ. I think George is plenty alive. You know what I mean?
No, I'm saying.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right, Allie.
Yeah.
That gesture you just made that no one could see. It's on. It is on. It's a fight. A fight.
Okay.
Between two massive superpowered DJs.
Oh,
it's a DJ
yeah.
battle. DJ oh. brawl.
Yeah.
Twitter war. DJ beef. DJ beef, by the way, was my club name back when I used to spin.
Does it involve Allie's good friend Diplo?
It does. Mm. It does involve Diplo and Zed. Diplo versus Zed. That's the sequel to Batman v Superman. Diplo v Zed. You know that Zed and Aloe Black have done that Candyman song for the Eminem commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think it's just sheer, crass commercialism money grab.
Oh, so now they shouldn't make money.
Well, Diplo stepped up and said, Zed... What the F is this? And it was the video of Zed and Aloe Black doing their version of the classic song, The Candyman, to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
And Diplo said, it's not okay to do this, man. Come on. It's not all about the money emoji. He didn't write money emoji. He showed the money bag with the dollar sign on the side.
Uh-huh.
Then Zed came back with, stop being a jealous little bitch and do us all a favor and just shut the F up. Thank you. Then
what?
Diplo responded with, you're young and rich and a great musician. Use that to your advantage. Don't be such a pompous cornball loser. Also, I effed your girl.
Oh.
He didn't say that.
He
didn't say that.
He absolutely said that.
Oh.
Oh, that escalated quickly.
Right?
Wow. Who's the girl?
I don't know.
Because I think Zed dated, was it Selena Gomez? No?
I don't remember.
I don't
okay,
either.
I might be wrong.
But Zed's girl.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
It's on. Cannot wait to see how this shakes down.
Doesn't he always call people Bubba?
No,
yeah,
he,
that's
no,
a great
he
question.
Doesn't call people
So he's
Bubba.
blaming him for selling out, yet he just did a duet with Justin Bieber.
Come on, Allie. Why are you going to be like that?
I'm asking a question.
Bieber's an artist.
Okay. So's the green M&M.
So are the M&Ms? What are you trying to tell me? I'm out of time already.
Got a new Twitter beef to keep an eye on then, I guess.
I'm out of time. Can't believe it.
Take your time.
Real quickly, I just want to mention, it's great news for Doctor Who fans. Doctor Who, every episode, seasons 1 through 8, will now be available on Amazon Prime.
Wow.
If you're an Amazon Prime owner, you get to see every episode starting Sunday, March 27th. Now, they were only previously on Netflix before, so now we get all the Doctor Who episodes on Amazon Prime. If you have that instead of Netflix, it's good news. The bad news is they're taking the year off, the Doctor Who folks, for 2016.
Oh.
Because there's a lot of stuff going on in the UK that year, and showrunner Stephen Moffat, it's his last season. He said he wanted to hold off and really provide some punch with that season. So they're going to do their Christmas special in 2016, but then season 10 won't air until 2017. So if you're a Whovian, you got a long way to head.
Now, they're keeping the same Doctor Who, right? They're not changing who, but they are changing companions when they come back?
Peter Capaldi.
Is that what we understand?
Yes, right. Because Jenna Coleman is gone now. She's moving on, and he will have a new companion. And then
she was awesome.
She was awesome. She was beautiful and talented and terrific, and I loved her. I'm glad they didn't kill her.
Spoilers! Charbroiled!
Today's celebrity birthdays. Constance Wu is 34 years old today. Reese Witherspoon turns 40. Key of Key and Peele, Keegan-Michael Key, is 45 years old. Bob Costas is 64. And William Shatner, as we mentioned, celebrating his 85th birthday today. He is extra alive.
I've heard that.
He's more alive. Chekhov,
so dead.
Not at all.
He's also alive.
Sulu's alive. Many, many of the crew of the Enterprise are still with us.
But a lot of them are dead, too.
Look, it's not a point. It's not a thing. If you list some people are alive and some people are dead, that's not a thing.
Right. But what I'm saying is
this. Oh, my God.
Is that in a world where Spock is dead,
right?
Kirk is not only alive, but is still creating great work.
Oh, God.
That's all. Look, my whole point is just to compliment William Shatner. That's it. That's all I'm trying to do here.
By pointing out that some people are dead.
Right. Like, it's
a
their
great
fault.
Great compliment.
Like, Shatner's better because they're not alive.
Oh, my God.
Shatner
is so better. Alive. That's awesome. You're so much better at living.
Oh,
thank you. That's
you
what I'm saying.
With your breathing and everything. Oh, I think you're better than us because you're all walking around.
The Canadians haven't figured out. That's what I'm saying.
Well, why don't you move there and go see what it's all about? And then send us a postcard.
Okay, I'll do that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
It's sad they broke up. I liked Foo Fighters a lot, but I guess too good a thing to last forever.
Still together,
but I
taking
think,
a little break.
I think the new direction with Nick Lachey as their lead singer is going to be good as
well. That was just a little parody video.
Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Tuesday morning. I have to tell you that I was on vacation last week. Kevin is out this week. I was gone last week, and I was
shocked. What?
You didn't notice?
Can you explain that more?
I was shocked to hear through the grapevine, and by the grapevine I mean see on the internet while I was on vacation, that our friend Mike Catherwood turned in his notice, and he will no longer be hosting Loveline along with Dr. Drew Pinsky. I was very, very sad to hear that news. In fact, so sad that I reached out to Mike and asked him to come in on the show, and he will be here with us this time tomorrow. So we'll get a chance to talk to Mike in person and find out why he's walking away from maybe the best job in broadcasting. 10 hours a week of answering phones is a full-time job, by the way, and he's walking away from that. But he's been doing the show for a long time, and of course, Stryker used to host that show. Adam Carolla hosted that show for a long time. Loveline goes back decades here on K-Rock. What are they going to do now? Who's the new host of Loveline going to be? Who is going to be standing next to Dr. Drew taking phone calls from all over the country from people with sex problems? What happens now?
I don't know, but it scares me.
It scares me a lot, too.
It has to go to the right person. It has to be in the right hands.
Yeah, because you've got to be somebody who has the broadcast skills to keep the show moving.
Sure.
You also have to be, you know, somebody who's got a certain amount of empathy, because some of the calls that come in are very sad. You got to have a smart guy. You got to have a fast learner. You got to have somebody that gets along with Dr. Drew. You got to have somebody who's just a consummate professional. I do know that they are auditioning people right now behind the scenes. You don't hear this on the air, but they are having people come in to try out for the show. Oh. We did get a hold of one of the tapes, and I'm not sure if this guy is going to end up being the host, but let's give it a listen and find out if maybe this is the answer as the new host of Loveline.
This is Loveline. Uh-oh. This is Loveline. Loveline. It makes sex even better.
Hey, welcome back to the show. You're listening to Loveline with me, Beer Mug, Dr. Drew.
Uh-oh.
We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-LOVE-191, and we'll answer all your questions about love and sex and relationships and food and burgers and pizza and weight loss and Uber. We have a call. Kyle's on the phone. Hi, Kyle. Thanks for calling Loveline. What can I do for you?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Drew and Beer Mug. Thanks for taking my call. I'm having a hard time in my relationships with women. I think it's because I was, growing up, I had some issues with abuse, sexual abuse from a family member.
You know, that makes me think of my own childhood. You know, my dad used to play jazz records around the house, and, you know, I love beats, and he taught me, you know, the importance of a drummer in jazz, and it's important that, you know, you have a strong backbeat, and he would expose me to all kinds of good music, and...
Yeah, I had a family member that exposed himself to me, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
no.
You'd go see movies like Mr. Holland's Opus. And it's funny because if you're like me, you have a very close family.
Yeah, I had some members of my family who were a little too close to me.
And we would get together for family meals and talk about the day's events and what would happen. And I think that really helped me develop a strong sense of self. And so I like, you know, beats and food. And
can we get back to my problem?
Yeah, sure. So how do you feel about beats?
I don't really care about beats one way or the other. I just need some help.
You know, help. When I think of help, I think of the Beatles.
Oh,
and
no.
A lot of people don't know. I think Ringo was underappreciated as a drummer. Because I'm a drummer, and I think Ringo was really one of the best rock drummers. What do you think?
I think I'm gonna call somebody else.
Wait, before you go, how has your life been up till today?
No,
that may not be the answer.
Oh no.
Right?
Yeah.
Looking ahead, by the way, we got some great guests coming up on the Kevin Bean Show, including ex-ambassadors performing live. We've got Nick Kroll, John Mulaney stopping by. I just saw that my girlfriend Rachel Nichols is going to be here with us next Tuesday in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph.
We got to fix that.
I love her so much.
That must be some error, some clerical error.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since we've had Rachel Nichols on the show. I was beginning to worry she was boycotting us somehow.
Well, you've
no, I haven't at all. It's always been completely safe. I know what you were thinking, that you're going to try to make it creepy. It's not creepy at all. It's love is what it is. It's not creepy. It's not creepy if I love.
Oh, my God.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
This week has to be over.
It's only Tuesday.
It can't be.
It is.
Anyway, Rachel's going to be here next Tuesday. I'm very excited about that. I'll be flying down, so I'll be spending some time.
No, you won't.
No, I think I need to be there in the studio.
You don't need to be.
Miss Rachel. All right, time for our final look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman. What's going on?
Well, Randy Couture from the UFC, he is a real-life superhero. You've heard about this or not, but he was in Mexico on a work trip when he saw a minivan roll over twice in a car accident. Randy says he was primarily worried about the vehicle, that it might catch fire. So he and his driver pulled over and then just hauled ass to the vehicle and helped out two women and a child. None of the six passengers that were in the minivan were seriously injured. And he hasn't heard anything from local authorities, but they are hailing him as a hero, that he was Johnny on the spot and help those people out of that car.
Did the car blow up?
No, it does not say here whether it actually did catch on fire.
So they could have just gotten out on their own, and the story would have had the exact same ending?
Why?
Wow. No, I'm just asking. I'm just trying to understand what happened here. Like, the heroic part is that he helped people out of a car that didn't blow up?
He didn't know if it was going to blow up while he was in the process of helping him.
He was rescuing people out of the car. It could have easily gone horribly bad.
But didn't.
All right, so he did nothing. He changed the situation in no way then. That's fine. No, if that's what we're calling heroic now, I'm probably a hero too then.
Nope. I know that's not the case.
What is wrong with you?
This Cat Williams story is disturbing.
What now?
On every level. You know, he is, of course, a comedian, but he's got a weird, dark, twisted side, maybe more so than we ever imagined. He's just been slapped with a lawsuit by a woman named Jamila...
Use your words.
What's her name? And she is pronounced how?
Her name is...
Yes?
Ralph is purple. He's waving us off. Nope.
Give me a minute.
What's the name of the lady in the story who's suing Cat Williams?
Her name is...
Come on, Ralph. Phonetically, just spell it out.
Come on.
Just read it.
Her name is Jamila Majesty. Jamila Majesty is her name.
All right.
And she is suing Cat Williams because he...
Thank you.
Because she claims that she... used his private bathroom without his permission in his Los Angeles mansion in July of 2014. Because of that horrible transgression, she alleges that she was tortured.
Oh, my God.
By Cat Williams and three 18-year-old girls.
What's happening?
I know, right? Oh. He and several women tortured her, beat her. Put out cigarettes on her.
Oh, oh my God.
And demanded to know if she was a Michael Jackson fan. That's probably the oddest part of the torture.
Yeah.
She was eventually let go, but she claims that Cat Williams warned her she'd be killed if the police found out about the incident.
So he's very serious about which bathrooms his guests are allowed to use.
Yes, right. She claims that she tried to report the crime in Malibu and Agoura Point, but they did nothing. And neither the Los Angeles Police Department or the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department would confirm that a complaint had indeed been filed. But she is now filing a civil lawsuit against Cat Williams.
Wow.
Jamila Majesty.
That's a terrible story.
It is a terrible story. And I deeply regret I could not get her name out. But Jamila Majesty.
It is Jamila Majesty.
It is Jamila Majesty.
You're allowed a little bit of levity for that.
It's kind of a crazy name.
Yeah. He's been doing some crazy stuff.
Yeah, he's off the rails.
Yeah.
And if any of this is true, he should be prosecuted to the fullest extent. But just a nightmare. And just for using the bathroom. Jeez, imagine the kind of punishment Beer Mug would get if you ever dropped by that mansion. Setting fire alarms off with...
Yeah, they just burned the house down. You can't come back from that.
Aerosol deodorizers. And Sir Paul McCartney is trying to get his... publishing rights back. You may remember famously that Paul lost the publishing rights to the Beatles catalog to Michael Jackson and Sony back in the day. Well, I did not know this, but apparently the U.S. Copyright Act of 1976 gives writers the opportunity to reclaim their work after 56 years have passed. It's an odd number.
An odd number.
Yes, what I just said.
I agree.
Because Lennon McCartney, of course, had credit for writing all the Beatles hits. That catalog would become available in 2018. So Paul is already gearing up and filing papers and getting his ducks in a row so that he can get the publishing rights to all the Beatles songs back under his control. So.
I just can't imagine how much money Lennon and McCartney copyrights must generate every year.
Yeah.
When you think about all the radio play, you think about all the cover versions, all the inclusions in movies, all the streaming and music sold, productions on stage. I mean, their music is everywhere, and he makes money off of all of it.
The transaction probably will be simplified because the estate of Michael Jackson did sell their half of the rights recently back to Sony ATV. So it's all under one roof now, and apparently Paul's really serious about trying to get it back. So
good for him.
I hope he does get back.
I mean.
What?
It's a song.
Today's celebrity birthday is Constance.
Get out.
Constance Wu is 34 years old today. Reese Witherspoon turns 40. Keegan-Michael Key of Key and Peele. He's so great. They're both great guys and so funny. Of course, Keanu's the new movie they have coming out soon. We got to get those guys in when that's out, right?
Yeah,
love
we do.
It. Love it.
He's 45 today. Bob Costas is 64. And actor William Shatner, the captain himself, of course, has done great work in many other things, too, like T.J. Hooker and Boston Legal, Denny Crane.
Yep. Yeah, won a bunch of Emmys for that.
85 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, wasn't the rap on him for years that he was not a good actor?
Shatner?
Yeah.
I guess overactor maybe was more the brand on him.
And then put the guy in the right role like he was with Boston Legal, and he killed. He couldn't have been any better and deserved all those awards.
No, he's a very dramatic, theatrical guy. He's sort of larger than life. And if he's cast as a character that has those qualities, he's very effective.
Well, I love him. And I have told him when he's been in studio, I have said to him in the past, don't you ever die, you son of a bitch, because I am already pre-sad to live in a world without William Shatner. Because he's my favorite.
We're not going to go through the death roll call in the Enterprise again, are we?
I'm just saying, some guys, you want them to always be alive.
Okay,
and
you know that's not going to happen, right?
Well, I know. I can hope. I mean, he's doing great at
85. No, you can't hope. You can't hope that someone's never going to die. That's a dumb hope.
Well, if I die before him, though, then for me, he will have never died.
God willing. Come on, roll a 7.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin DeBean show. I think it's going to be a good one. Our friend Jeffrey Ross is going to be joining us in studio. He's got some shows coming up at the Irvine Improv. He is the Roastmaster General. He's always a lot of fun. We'll recap the People versus O.J. Simpson with the juice himself on the phone from the correctional facility in Nevada. And our friend Mike Catherwood will be by.
Quitter.
Quitter, right?
Oh, look at me. I quit drugs. I quit my job. Quit. Why don't you try sticking with something for once?
There's nothing this guy can't walk away from.
Boy.
Anyway, we'll see what Mike's got to say. He's got some splaining to do with his announcement that he is leaving the Love Line. That's all tomorrow morning right here on